laughs in the morning with Heidi and Frank. More rock throughout the day with hour-long blocks. Commercial-free. Southern California's classic rock. 95.5 KLOS.
And KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
A Cumulus station.
Yeah, man. Frazier Smith Show. What up, gang?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Frazier Smith here. Thanks to the Rooster Cogburn of radio. The Texas Cannonball Bob Coburn. Yeah, playing all those tasty nighttime nuggets. Those are great, aren't they?
I love the New York band he did.
Yeah, Bob knows how to pick them, right? He picks those tunes that make you go, wow, I remember that one. You know, always some cool stuff from BC every Sunday on Nighttime Nuggets. And we've got a great show for you on tap tonight. All lined up by producer Mel Garcia. And don't forget, next Saturday night, Mel's hosting the annual Taggers for Tots telethon. On Telemundo, bring an unwrapped can of spray paint and get an autographed photo of the Hall of Fame tagger Chaka graffitiing an RTD bus. Who wouldn't want one of those?
Oh,
come on, that's Taggers for Tots, where the writing's on the wall, always on the wall.
Yeah.
It's always on the wall. sorry, Mel. Anyway, the playoff games, I don't know, man. Packers could have won that game. Right? Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They went conservative.
I mean, Pete Carroll's my old buddy, but I was kind of rooting for the Packers.
You know, I'm
an NFC Central dude, and, you know, they made some weird play calls. They got conservative, right?
They did. They took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. You can't do that.
Mistake.
Yeah.
And they had a great first half. Mm-hmm. And then the other game was over in the first 5 minutes. Wow. Brady's on, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Should be a good Super Bowl, though.
So damn pretty.
Yeah, well, he's a Michigan player too, man. You know, it's I've always rooted for him. Now, Super Bowl. Remember when I covered the Super Bowl on K Rock? This was like probably you don't because it was like 35 years ago. it was me and the Fireside Theater and Al Ramirez, my buddy, and we actually got in the L.A. Times, dude. And I'm glad it wasn't today because you'd be thrown in jail for doing an illegal broadcast. You would really,
yeah.
You know, you'd be in there like, what are you in for? We covered the Super Bowl, but it was me and Ramirez and
Goodell would show up himself.
Well, they put it on the front page of the Times. It said Super Bowl, CBS TV, and Frazier Smith on K-Rock. So I don't know what the heck we talked about because I've never done play-by-play. It's pretty hard. All right. And, of course, look who's here also, the board op of the future, the master of disaster, Mike Fox in the house. You've heard of the Lion King? Mike is the Cougar King.
Oh, yeah.
At least during happy hour at Fridays in Woodland Hills. Cougars, look out.
You know it.
How was your week?
It was awesome. Oh, hey, both were great.
Okay.
That's a Freudian slip.
I guess so. guys, we have a very special guest tonight on the Frazier Smith Show.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
The Dice Man cometh. That's right. The legendary comedian Andrew Dice Clay in the house. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah,
that needs a little work, but I've been doing that all week.
Luckily, he's coming.
Since I knew he's coming in here. All right, so Dice is going to be here, and we're getting a call also from the singer of a band I used to always love, Felix Cavallari.
Yeah.
Is that how you say Cavallari?
Yeah.
Yeah, of the Young Rascals. And also guitarist and co-founder Mark Kendall of Great White, calling in too a little bit later. It's going to be a great show, and we're also going to talk with Sheik Stinkaboo, our sponsor, about what happened last night at my birthday bash out at Sheik Stinkaboo's Hookah Lounge in Glendale. I don't remember a thing.
Speaking of not getting arrested.
I think there was a goat involved. Anyway, we're going to find out all the dirty details tonight on the Frazier Smith Show, brought to you by Ticket Whore, and also by Dumbass Dave's Dine and Dash Delicatessen, home of the gluten-free corn dog. It's 95.5 KLOS. It's the Frazier Smith Show. All right, don't forget, it's time. We got events, guys.
Are ready for
events?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we should clap for these. I don't know. It's time for Flu Fest. Anyone who got the flu shot this year and still got the flu, which is pretty much everybody, is invited to come by the LA Sports Arena next Saturday from noon till 3 to cough and complain. Get there early because seating's limited at Flu Fest. It's always in the air.
Last year, that was gigantic.
It really was. Yeah. And everyone in town's got the flu, so going to fill up fast. And this Friday, KLOS's own Gary Moore will be hosting Fired NFL Coaches Night at Goofballs in Glendale. Come out and meet a former NFL coach and listen to Gary's band, Gary and the Google Pops. They only know one song. Yeah, Springsteen's Glory Days, but they play it really well for a long time. And once again, next Friday in Rancho Cucamonga, radio legend and former rodeo star Jim Ladd will be hosting the annual E-Bong Relay. Winner gets to pick up Jim's dry cleaning for a week. That's always fun.
Wow.
And Senator Dianne Feinstein is going to be hosting the annual Puff Pop Pass Punt and Kick Contest at HempCon next week. And won last year by our producer, Mel Garcia, who was somehow able to kick a 35-year-old field goal after 10 bong hits. How'd you do that, Mel?
Concentration, focus.
Okay. Okay. And finally, in conjunction with next week's annual NAMM Music Festival, our friend Bob Zaney is hosting the annual HAM Comedy Festival in Burbank. Hams of all types, comedians, class clowns, mimes, ventriloquists, magicians, knuckleheads of all stripes will converge on Soupy Sales Park in Burbank for a weekend of pratfalls, puns, spit takes, and dick jokes. which everyone loves. Tickets are available at Ticket Whore, where it's never cheap and easy. I think we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
Ticket
yeah.
whore. Coming up, the Dice Man, Andrew Dice Clay, and Felix Cavalieri from the Young Rascals. I always loved that group. I always loved this band when I was in high school, the Rascals. Formerly the Young Rascals, and now Felix Cavalieri's Rascals. Felix is on the phone with us, the lead singer and organ player. Felix, what's up? Oh, well, how are you? What happened there, Mel?
He's coming right now.
Oh, okay. Dice Clay's on the show. That's going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
My old buddy. And I think Max and Dylan are with him, too, from L.A. Rocks.
Oh, they
we had them on a couple weeks ago. And,
that was a great band, wasn't it?
They're a great band.
I know.
We went and saw them in Burbank. They were really rocking. Felix, are you there? Hello. Once again. There he is. It's Fraser Smith. How are you, buddy?
Who?
Rick Dees. No, it's Fraser Smith. How are you?
Rachel Smith?
Yes, exactly. Is that Felix? All right, we'll figure it out. All right. We're off to a good start here tonight.
Oh,
well, Mel, once again, Cracker Jack producing.
I tell you.
I know. All right, should we read the two-hip news? Let's do that.
Yeah, I want to
okay,
that.
Here's the two-hip news. Looks like Mitt Romney will be once again throwing his hat in the ring for the GOP candidacy, saying this time Obama doesn't stand a chance. He's not going to beat me this time.
Ooh.
Romney then said he plans to begin his anti-poverty campaign by selling one of his wife's two Cadillacs and one of his eight homes. And in other news, where's the sound effect for this? In the wake of more allegations of sexual assaults against women, NBC said this week that it's bailing on proposed Bill Cosby Project 2.5 Roofies. The show has, however, been picked up by Lifetime Channel, who called it a good fit.
Woo!
And a California high school coach was suspended this week for running up the score after his team beat another high school team 161-2, or as the New York Knicks would call it, a close game. And a group of state health officials are blaming this week's outbreak of measles on the close proximity of large crowds in a closed area. Their official diagnosis, it is a small world, after all. And finally, city officials are investigating the cause of a deadly hummus slide this week at Fraser Smith Show sponsor Chic Stinkaboo's Hookah Lounge in Glendale, in which several clubgoers were buried under a wall of hummus. Rescue workers reportedly used tortilla chips and giant celery stalks to dig the survivors out.
What else?
What are you going to use?
Yeah.
All right, that's it for Two Hip News, brought to you by Ticket Whore. If you'll do anything to get tickets to an event, and we mean anything, check out Ticket Whore. This is 95.5.
Oh,
we have Felix is on the line now?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Third time's a charm. Felix, are you there?
I am here. How are you, everybody?
Well, very good, buddy. You know, I was surprised pleasantly to see this, that you were in Joey D and the Starlighters.
Many moons ago, yes, many moons, yes.
Yeah, but I love that band and the Peppermint Twist and Peppermint Lounge. That was a real interesting scene when it was happening, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was a little later in that incarnation, so to speak, but I toured Europe with them, but it was a pretty interesting thing. It was my first kind of like major professional engagement.
Uh-huh. And you and Eddie Brigati, where did you meet? You guys wrote most of the songs together. Did you guys meet in high school?
No. I met him through his brother, who was actually a member of the Joey D band. See, David was one of the original Joey D guys.
Okay, and you guys just started writing songs. You wrote so many great original songs.
Well, thank you, yes.
Yeah, the first song, though, I think was a cover that was a big hit from the Olympics, right, with Good Lovin'?
That's correct. Yeah, because, you know, in those days you had to do covers to make a living. They didn't really want to hear anything new until, you know, like seriously, the Dylan people and the Beatles came along, you know, Spoonful came along. Everybody was doing covers.
Yeah, until then, right, to get work. Yeah. Now,
yes, to get work.
You were a great soul. You are a great soul singer. And were you a fan of all the old R&B singers?
Well, yeah, you know, I got lucky that I was growing up in New York where Alan Freed brought his, you know, rock and roll show. So I heard all that stuff in the very beginning, you know, and just, you know, like I just will never forget those voices, phenomenal voices.
Who were some of your favorites?
Well, you know, it started off with people like Smokey Robinson, Flamingos, and Marvin Gaye, and, you know, it just kept on going to, you know, like these phenomenal singers in the Moonglows, and, you know, it was just an amazing experience, the Platters, you know, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vocalists.
Were you a doo-wop guy, too?
Well, I came a little after that, but, you know, I did a lot of singing with singing groups in those days as well, but I was a little after that. I was more like, you know, more like tuned into the bands.
Uh-huh. And those live shows that Alan Freed put on were awesome, weren't they?
Well, if you think about all the stars that were on those shows, you know, I mean, like the Buddy Hollies, and that they would have like Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry, and, you know, it would keep on going until you couldn't believe it. Each act did two songs. Those days are long gone.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever see Buddy Holly live?
You know, I don't think I ever saw him live, but, you know, the Crickets live down here where I am in Tennessee, the other members of the band. So at least I get a chance to see them and know them.
Yeah, oh, the Crickets are awesome, legendary, right? That was his band.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you have had such a string of hits. You had 18 top 40 hits. That's a lot, man. And three big number one hits.
We had a really good time, you know. We had a really good company that we were working for. Atlantic Records was just like a magic place to be. And it was just a lot of fun to be out there in the marketplace with all those, you know, like, really powerhouse English acts, and holding your own there was really a great experience.
And were you blown away by the English invasion when that started to happen? Some of those bands?
Well, I actually, you know, like I met them, I worked with them in Europe with Joey D prior to them coming to the United States, so I had a chance to kind of see them before they got here to that old Ed Sullivan show.
Uh-huh.
So I knew what was coming, you know?
Yeah.
I knew that there was going to be a bunch of screaming people around very shortly.
Yeah, they did set it all on fire. And you guys were part of that, too. And you got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, very worthingly. And in 1997, was that an exciting moment for you?
Well, you know, it was exciting because the people that were on the stage with us, I mean, it's the last time I saw the Bee Gees together.
Oh, wow.
The last time I was able to see Michael Jackson with the Jackson 5.
Right.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young were there. It was a great night.
Wow. Did they all go in that night, same time you did?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It was a great crowd. And, you know, when we get together with people like that, it's kind of like, you know, like a real wonderful college, high school reunion, you know. It was great.
You know, and this is MLK weekend, of course, and you guys refused to tour on shows on segregated dates. So that was kind of a breakthrough thing at that time.
Yeah, you know, it was a statement that caused a lot of difficulty for us, but it was heartfelt, you know, and I really wanted to, you know, basically just share our music with the audiences that were buying our music, because we had a great, you know, crossover career.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa. The other groups, they wanted to cross over too. So, you know, it was really just like, you know, let's have a good time here. Let's leave the trouble out in the street, you know?
Sure, absolutely. And more recently, you were on the Once Upon a Dream tour and with Steven Van Zandt from the E Street Band. He's an interesting guy, and you've worked a lot with him, right?
Well, yeah, this was a really kind of a, you know, a reunion of the older the group. You know, I'm now currently with, you know, a different set of rascals, so to speak. But yeah, we got together for 1 year. We did Broadway. We did a mini tour of the United States, and it was quite exciting. It was quite different, I'll tell you that, because, you know, we had this huge screen behind us telling the story. And it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I bet. And little Steven really knows that era of music, doesn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, with that radio station that he has over there, he's keeping all of us alive.
Yeah.
A lot of those songs, you'll never hear them on radio. You'll never hear them on terrestrial radio. You'll just hear them, you know, like if you tune into those crazy channels. And I think that's good because they'll be gone. They'll just disappear, you know.
Well, not with him around. I'm glad he's doing that. And we want to plug your show coming up Thursday night at Pepperdine at the Smothers Theater out there. Go out and see this guy. He's an amazing performer. And we thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys. You sound like you're pretty interesting people out there, let me tell you.
Well, thank you, buddy. And I'm always a fan. We're going to play something right now from the Rascals, the Young Rascals. And look who's here. My old buddy, the Dice Man.
Woo!
Yeah,
buddy.
Come on, man.
Still your buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, man.
Great to have you back on the air, I got to tell you that.
Well, thanks, Dice.
You were always amazing, ever since I met you.
Wow. Well,
I mean, I don't know if the fans listening realize that all those years ago when, you know, like I started at the Comedy Store, all the people that they know today, everybody from Leno to Seinfeld, that were all unknown in the early 80s, that if you liked them, you would have them on anyway. You didn't care if they had TV credits, album deals, HBO. You didn't care. If you thought someone was funny, you were having them on.
Well, thanks for saying that.
That's a great thing.
Thanks, man. I was just a fan. And I remember the first night I saw you, Bob Zaney says to me, well, let's come out of this club, the Westwood Comedy Store.
That's right. Bob Zaney was always there, too.
Yeah, man. And so he says, this is where all the guys go that are going to be big in the future. So, and Zaney was playing down there that night, so I get down there, and I'm watching these guys go up. It was guys like Shandling,
yeah,
Bob
exactly.
Saget, guys who later got big, right?
Everybody that went really big was from there.
Yeah.
Myself, Kennison, Howie Mandel, Shandling.
I saw Kennison that night. I saw.
Yeah, all those guys were at the Westwood Comedy Store.
Yeah, it was like the Farm Club.
It really was. And the guys from the main club, you know, some of them took off, but not as many as the guys that were coming up from Westwood.
All the guys who got big were there.
It was so crazy. The shows were so much fun.
They were awesome, and I was in the back, and I was watching everybody, and it was blowing my mind. And then Jackson Purdue says to me, oh, yeah, he goes, well, watch this guy. So you come up, and I go, first of all, I go, that is like a real Fonzie. You look like Fonzie. You had the leather on. You had the whole deal. And you didn't say anything for 5 minutes. You just...
Smoked the cigarette.
Smoked your cigarette. Whipped out the lighter. Did the reach around with the cigarette. And you go into the mic. I just loved it, man.
And then the line was, the opening line was, I could stand up here for 3-4 minutes and sort of just smoke a cigarette and not tell you any jokes, because the fact is, I'm just that good. And it would get the laugh,
yeah,
you know, because people are waiting, like, what's going to happen up here?
Yeah,
it was always fun.
Man, I just loved it. And then you go into one of the nursery rhymes that got famous later. Just amazing to see you for the first time, the Dice Man.
Well, that's where we became friends.
Yeah, yeah. And another bit that I always loved was the magician bit.
Oh!
From Brooklyn, right? I love that bit, man.
You're talking about bits I've completely forgotten.
But I just...
You know what I mean? Not that I don't like those bits. I just never think about it.
Well, it's,
you know,
way
the
back.
What's a magician going to do? Wait, what was it again? Pull three rings apart. Yay. I can't take no more. What are you going to do? Pull a handkerchief that just keeps becoming a long handkerchief?
And then you go.
And then I'd say, how am I going to even say this? It gets filthy. You know, let me see the guy marbles out of his butt. You know, let me see him do it. You know, yeah.
Look,
know, this is, you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here.
Right. I don't need to lose another job.
That was a great, that was a great bit, though,
right?
The magician.
Yeah, yeah. From Brooklyn. Now, when did you start with the Dice character?
you know what? You know, like I started out, I was doing the impressions. I was doing you actually were there for the beginning of it.
Yeah, Travolta.
But that was the original act. I would turn from Jerry Lewis's Nutty Professor
right.
into John Travolta, like from Grease.
Right.
You know, so it was all impressions, the act. You know, so I'd come up with the, you know, the stupid Jerry Lewis hairdo with the dopey glasses. I'm like, actually, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a human pity. You know, and then I would pick on them, and I'd take my magic formula. The music would come on, and then I'd be standing there as Travolta and be like, tuh. So you thought it couldn't be done, right? You know, and I'd start doing, like, all these Welcome Back Carter jokes, and then I'd go into Grease Lightning.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Those were great times.
Loved
the struggle
it.
Is fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I even explain that to my boys and everything. I go, the struggle, the building of a career, a lot of times is more fun than major stardom. Because once you have major stardom, it's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure, yeah.
You know, everybody ripping you off, everybody bad-mouthing you, all the haters, you know. But when you're struggling, everybody loves you. You know, that's when people are coming over and go, you're going to get there one day. You're going to get... And, you know, traveling the country and playing all the clubs and, you know, banging all these waitresses all over the place, everywhere.
That's the best
all time. All day long.
Yeah.
All day long with no repercussions because there's no money to take from me when we break up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just fun traveling the country and... You know, everywhere, clubs all the way, New York to L.A. to Texas to, you know, the whole country I would do.
Yeah.
And build that, like, underground following that when I'd show up at, you know, especially Texas was my first headlining gig.
Oh,
when
yeah?
I started
yeah.
going out as a comic at about 24 years old, you know, I got booked at the Comedy Corner in Dallas, Texas, which it's not there anymore. And it's like, I couldn't even believe, like, what I was getting paid for a week to do stand-up.
Just the fact that you're getting paid is awesome.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. But for headlining at that club, they were, you know, I didn't have any, like, credits behind me like Johnny Carson or any of these shows. But they paid $900 a week, and they would book you 2 weeks at a clip. And the first time I played there, they go, we want another 2 weeks.
Wow.
You know, so I remember calling my mother in Brooklyn, and I'm going, I got like $4,000, Mom. And she's like, well, save your money. You got to save your money. I go, Ma, I'm going to spend every nickel when I get to LA. And she goes, why would you do that? I go, because I'm not leaving myself any chance of not getting to where I want to get in show business. I don't want a cushion.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because, you know, my thing was always, you know, bottom line, and I'd even say it to you, I'd go, I'm going to be the biggest comic in the world. That's
you always
it.
Said that.
And it was just matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah.
That comics that would be opening for me in places like Texas, where, you know, how you share a condo.
Yeah.
You know, and most comics, as you know, are very insecure about their act, very insecure about their life. And I just got... all the confidence in the world.
Yeah.
So when we talk comedy, and these are guys, you know, you don't really get that close with. You're hanging out for a few weeks, you know.
Yeah.
And they go, well, where do you see yourself, like, in 5 years to 10 years? I go, well, honestly, I'm just going to become the biggest comic ever. I'm going to create the Elvis of comedy, something they've never seen. And, like, these comics, it was hard for them to handle because they're thinking, well, it would be nice to get on a local talk show right here in Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm dreaming of, you know, stadiums.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how my mind works. It's just what I believe.
You always had that confidence.
It's all about that. You have to, you know, like, you know, I'll tell any up-and-coming comic that talks to me about, you know, how do I get there? You know, how do I get people behind me? And I'm always like, well, honestly, to believe in you is more important than anybody believing in you.
That's the key.
Because if you have that belief in you and you do have a talent, sooner or later there are going to be others that do believe in you. That's how the fans happen. That's how management happens. Agents happen. That's how, you know, but if you don't really believe you could get there, well, who else is going to?
Yeah, especially at first. Well, always, but especially at first. Because that's that insecure time.
I'm telling you, first time I went on stage, I always knew what I was meant to do. It's just that simple for me.
Yeah. I remember reading recently about, I don't know who it was, I wish I could remember. It's a big performer, and they credited Ford Fairlane when they watched it. They go, the confidence that Dice exuded in that character. It, he goes, that's what made their career.
Well, that's what it's all about, confidence and thinking, you know, like I'm talking to what a moron, and I love him, Ari Shaffir last night.
Ari, yeah.
Yeah, so so I'm on the phone with him, you know, he's starting to cook now. He's he's got a show on Comedy Central, plus now he had a special.
I watched the special, you know, it's good.
So he calls me last night, because I like sent him like a little congratulations message, and so he calls me last night. I go, well, Ari, what you got to do, you got to be thinking five steps ahead of the game now. And he goes, well, you know, like, what do you mean? I'm going, what do I mean? I go, you have a television show. You just aired a special. You know, you got to be thinking about, okay, when you stop filming the TV show, you got a tour now.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know if you've been doing, you know, clubs or little theaters. I don't know what he's been up to. He's got a pretty popular podcast. So I'm going, whatever the size gig you've been doing, go a little bigger. I go, and when you do that little tour, now you record it for an album, and you use like the Louis C.K. method of putting it on your site and not selling it expensive so the fans get a good deal.
Yeah, you know? These are all tricks.
And then if you get picked up for another season, well, now the next tour is going to be even bigger, so now you film that for another special. I go, that's how it works. I go, what do you mean you don't know? Don't tell me you don't know. Not when you've been breaking your ass all these years. You need to know now.
Because now, did you always guys, think that way? Did you always?
Always. Always. By the time I got to Don Kirshner's rock concert, I'm thinking, how do I get my first movie?
Right.
You know, I'm thinking about getting on a sitcom. You know, I'm thinking about getting a dramatic role in like an hour, you know, whatever the shows were back then. I was always thinking ahead. That's how you keep a career moving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I notice you enjoy doing that, because I notice now with your kids, with L.A. Rocks.
I've been having so much
fun. You're like a mastermind manager working with the kids.
Well, because, you know, number one, you know, my boys are everything I love in this world. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm watching them since they are little kids. You know, Max started playing drums when he was 10 years old. Dylan was only 6. You know, so he started playing drums. You know, and then within a few years, Dylan's playing guitar, Max's drumming skills were getting, I mean, he was able to do that double bass drum thing within 6 months of playing.
Oh, he's a heck of a drummer, yeah.
Were faster than my hands on the drums. I used to sit on the phone with other drummers that they'd listen to him, guys like Sully from Godsmack.
Right.
You know, Carmine Appice came over, gave him a couple. You know, Carmine is just one of the greatest drummers of all time.
Of all time, yeah.
I mean, guys like John Bonham used to go to Appice to teach them stuff. You know, Robin DiMaggio, the greatest funk drummer in the world, hands down, is bringing sets of drums to my kids. So, you know, everybody was encouraging them, you know what I mean? So by the time Dylan was 12... and Max was 15, they were just playing me on, like when I was at the Luxor in Vegas. You know, without knowing, they were getting, you know, they were becoming performers without the fear of getting on stage, because to them it was just fun. And you were with me.
Yeah, I was on that gig with you, man. And that's the first time I met the guys.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. We were with you on that, and that was the first time I met the kids, and I was amazed at how good they were already. But I was talking to them about that when they did the show the other day, about how that got them used to playing in front of big houses.
Yeah, they could. It means nothing to
them.
They're
not intimidated at all.
Yeah, they're going in to do Westbury with me in a week.
That's awesome.
You know, they started now at the other door where you came to see them at the club. They started now a residency.
Oh, that's a great spot for them.
Because just like we have the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory, you know, they need their club.
That's
where they
their
can
Westwood.
Just show up. Exactly.
Their workout spot.
You know, so as I've watched them progress and see how the music's come along, you know, because I always used to tell them, I'd be honest with them, you know, because you watch somebody develop and, you know, by the ages they are now, you know, which, I mean, Dylan's only 20 years old, but, you know, If he was just a date, you know, like just dreaming about rock stardom, but yet his chops were okay and maybe Max was okay, I go, you know what? This is a great hobby.
Hobby,
I would have told him. But when I hear the songs that they go into a little studio and do and just record, I go, this is like unreal to watch, just as a father.
Well, they're talented, and I see something. You know, when Dylan's singing, a little bit of dad is in there.
You know what? And he knows it. Yeah. And I think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Super cool, man.
I mean, he is my kid.
Yeah.
And you know, at the beginning when he started performing live, you know, he had a thing about like even wearing a leather jacket. And I would tell, you know, because that's my thing.
That's your thing.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would tell him, I go, do you think I made up wearing a leather jacket? Do you think this comes from me? I go, it's from all the rock guys, from
sure.
all the years, all the rock bands, from Elvis on. That's where I got the idea. So never feel you can't wear a leather jacket. And now he's doing everything. He's incredible.
You know, we're going to play some one of the tunes from the guys. We're going to take a very short commercial break, like 5 seconds. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Really? 5 seconds? The Dice Man is here on the Fraser Smith Show.
The Body Shop Gentlemen's Club on the Sunset Strip.
You know what? They're doing a show.
That was
Can
it?
Can somebody go in
that was it.
And ask them when they're doing the Palomino?
Oh, they're playing Palomino?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
we
man.
Need somebody to ask them right now so I could say it on the air.
Oh, we're on the air.
Well,
what
no.
do you mean?
Oh, we're going to get, where's Mel?
He's right there.
Oh, Mel, go.
Paladino's this Saturday.
Oh, it's this Saturday? Okay.
At what time?
Paladino's this Saturday at 9.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so
that's a legendary club.
So, yeah, and they know that. And, you know, so they're going to be there. The Paladino this Saturday. What do you say, 9 o'clock?
9.
Is it 9?
Yeah.
That'll be the warm-up for Westbury.
Yeah, cool. All right, cool. Westbury,
you know,
that's a huge
game,
man.
And I got to give you some credit for something, because since you are talking about them, you know, the Late Late Show, you know, now they have all these guest hosts.
And after Craig Ferguson, yeah.
And what happened is Billy Gardell, who's going to be hosting the show, heard them, just like you heard them, you know. And he tried to get them on the show, and, you know, they said, like, well, you know, they're really great, but we don't put on unsigned bands. And then what happened is, like, a week later, they were on your show,
right.
when you played all those tracks. And the next day, and it was great, because you were talking about breaking bands and all that stuff, which doesn't happen today. And because of that, the next day, Dylan got an email from the Late Late Show that they're the first unsigned band to ever come on that show, and they got booked on
wow.
the show, and it'll air February 23rd, actually.
And we've got the legendary Andrew Dice
with that little commercial.
Yeah.
And I drew that little pig moaning in.
Yeah.
Right there. Oh, this is Kayla. You little piglet. What's better than that, right?
Sounded like you something you would have done there.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the words we could use on the show, by the way.
I'm not either. So.
What an
is
animal
A-S-S
you are.
Is A-S-S allowed?
If you spell it, it's the same as saying it.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
No, Eleanor. Look who's here, by the way.
Eleanor Kerrigan.
Hi.
Our friend.
Kerrigan.
Yeah.
The boy's actual first stepmother.
Oh, boy.
That's true, isn't it?
And the second stepmother's at home listening.
All right, Val.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Val.
Yeah, because, you know, me and Eleanor knew each other like a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We still know each other, but... We knew each other back then.
And she opens up on your show.
She opens up for anybody.
Hey, I walked into that one.
No, because she showed up late. You know, I told her to be here.
I didn't show up late. You said, just be here at 10:30.
I got
here at 10:30.
Yeah. It's always
every
the same.
Yeah.
Never stops.
This is why I don't see her right now. You know,
I can see
it. I'm always
yeah.
late.
You know, I'm on the air. We're relaxed. We're having a good time. She comes in here with the lies.
With all
your lies.
Always with the lies.
Yeah.
So he's with the line. Yeah. Why are you going high pitched? Why are you going high pitched?
So I got high pitched.
Big
you.
Shot.
Yeah, right.
I am a big shot.
Big shot. In the meantime, you know, Eleanor is going to be airing.
Yeah.
In March, as far as I know, on Showtime, mm-hmm. and you know she's on my Blue Comedy special.
It's called
oh,
like,
cool.
Dice Presents. And
Dice Presents.
Blue,
Blue,
yeah.
The
all
Blue
right.
Show. And
I like it.
She's just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
amazing
I just,
comic,
I just
right?
saw yeah. it the other day. No, her shot, she just is incredible.
I can't wait.
That
no,
they're like
good.
Talking about, the director's talking about giving her an hour show now.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, just thrilling to see that.
Come on,
I mean, she
it
might,
pays,
don't get me wrong, she's stupid.
Whoa.
Shut up.
I'm staying out of this.
You shut up.
This is men talking, Eleanor.
Come on, Eleanor.
They don't go, it's a woman's world.
It doesn't matter.
They go, it's a man's world.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard anybody say?
Without women. Men wouldn't be here, so
it's
knock
not the
it
point.
Off. Absolutely.
The women, build the men.
That's right.
That's what they're
so
here for.
So you have to listen. So you shut up, stupid.
Oh, I'm Fraser. Stupid. Yes. Nobody's stupider than her.
Well, stupider I'm not than
gonna,
her.
No, you're that a stupid real person.
Stupid. I'm not going to weigh in.
I'm home with my friend Fraser.
Yeah, Eleanor. Fraser.
You were 5 years old Fraser. When I was friends with
that's
him.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. But now I'm not 5 years old. Now I yeah. can talk.
Now
you're
a single
so, I'm not
stepmother.
Yeah, right.
Ex-stepmother.
Oh, now you're an ex-stepmother?
Oh, okay.
You want to tell them that?
I'm your ex.
You want to hurt?
No, I'm your ex. I'll my never ex, leave right? them, but I'm definitely leaving you. That came out wrong.
No, my
yeah,
ex.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
My ex.
Your ex. Yes, I'm your ex. You Andrew no is you know, my you know, second ex
It was going along nicely you want to know something relaxed.
It doesn't,
and, but you know I love
it. It doesn't matter.
I should never have said
through.
Anything. I'm sorry.
You know, I are you seeing anybody
sorry.
Now, Fraser?
I am.
Are you seeing
something? Yeah.
Okay.
So am I.
Right.
Well, yeah, the gray fox, the silver fox.
Silver fox, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew. Go, please.
Sorry.
Now, this girl, how long you seeing her?
About a year.
Okay. Does she bother you in any way?
Yes. Of course. Of course.
Do you argue with her sometimes?
Of course.
Of course. Okay. So you got to figure, even if you got rid of her, the next one's going to do the same kind of thing.
Probably.
They're all, yeah. It's all awful. It's awful. Yeah. Right? Do you have any idea what I'm going through over a pillow at my house?
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
No, this is what happens, right?
Oh, boy.
My wife, Valerie, gets me the one I did marry.
Okay. Yeah. I like Valerie. Yeah. Okay. She's great.
Not Eleanor?
Yeah.
I did not marry you. I regained That's... consciousness, and I did not
Wait a minute.
Marry you.
That sounded like a Bill Cosby thing.
Oh. Yeah. So anyway,
sorry.
Listen to
yeah, let's not get into him.
No.
You know what I mean? He won't understand anyway. He's probably all doped up somewhere.
Probably.
Anyway, the thing is this. So she gets me like, you know, I have a very bad neck.
Right.
You know, that, you know, on my spine. That's why I always have her rub my neck or Eleanor or my mother-in-law or whatever. Oh. Because, you know, the nerves in my neck splinter. So they, like, push him back in. So, you know, Valerie looks for, like, the perfect pillow for me. So Christmas, she gives me this, like some kind of Tempur-Pedic pillow.
Yeah, those are good.
You know what I mean?
Tempur-Pedic.
Yeah, the Tempur-Pedic.
Yeah, whatever it is. And she goes, oh, but you can't have it yet. It's got to air out, like, in a space for a few days because it's got the Tempur-Pedic smell.
Yeah.
You know?
We can't have that.
And then we'll slowly bring it. I go, what do you mean slowly? We're not training. What are we training?
How
it,
you
like
train a
pillow?
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, now it's like a couple of days ago, like the 15th. Of January.
Wow.
So I come to bed to lay down, you know, and there it is, like right where my other pillow was. You know, it's just there. Right. And I sleep with a couple pillows, like everybody, right? Yeah. And I go, well, where's the pillow that was? And she goes, no, just lay down. Don't worry about that pillow. That pillow's, it's over here somewhere. Don't worry. I go, yeah, well, no, I'm going to lay on the, no, lay on your back, she says. Just lay on your back with your head straight on the pillow. I'm going, all right, let me, you know. And she goes, now turn your head to the side. Lay on your side. Do you feel how the pillow is engulfing your head, like taking your head in?
Okay.
And now roll back. And she goes, you feel it wrapped around your head? I go, you really got to stop, you know, directing, you know, the pillow.
It's a lot of work.
You know what I mean? And so now I want to fold the pillow a little so my head's like up, tilted so I could see her instead of just stealing, looking straight up at the ceiling. And she's going, no, unfold the pillow. Unfold the pillow. I love this pillow. Don't do that. I'm going, all right, take it easy. She goes, no, you're going to break the compartments, the capillaries.
Oh, those,
the
that's
pillow,
bad. Yeah.
What do people get in when they go to work? They sit in cubicles. Like
cubicles.
The cubicles of gel, whatever. I'm going, Valerie, I got to be able, you know, to just lay on the pillow, you know. And now it's the next night. You know, and it starts again with the pillow.
Uh-oh.
She goes, you know, I woke up this morning. You were laying on that pillow. You know, I go, the pillow weighs. She goes, you didn't move. I go, because it weighs like 15 pounds, this thing.
Yeah, those.
What did they make this out of? You know, it's like a brick. Right?
It's a lot of jail.
And now I try to lay down again with the fudge. She goes, no, unfold the pillow. You're going to break the cubicles. I'm telling you, I'm jealous. You know?
Can't have them.
And,
yeah.
And I go, babe, you gotta stop directing my sleep. Yeah. This has to end with this pillow. You know, leave me alone. Just leave me alone with the pillow now. And give me back the other pillow.
Yeah, where's the other one?
You know?
So angry over
it. It was unreal.
But, does it work? Know, does the tempered pedicles work? Does it work?
The two greatest nights sleep I've had in the last 30 years.
Wow.
See? Now, if you just listen.
Well, so yes, at least it worked.
Two greatest nights. You got to get a tempered pedicle.
I need one. I got to get one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm even thinking of going like bedwise like that now.
Why not?
Oh, the whole bed?
Well, the whole bed. But, you know, the whole
it's
thing
a lot of gel.
With that, you know.
He likes
yeah,
to
could
buy
you imagine the bed? What's going to go on there?
Oh, wait a minute.
You know what
and
I
he'll
mean?
Break all
yeah.
the cubes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because the Tempur-Pedic like forms to whatever's on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I already had a little fun when she went to sleep with the pillow.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Like indenting like parts of my body that you normally wouldn't see on a pillow.
Talk about breaking a cubicle.
You know what I mean? And I'm kind of, you know, I'm going, look at this. It really like, it really shapes it out. Right,
right. Can only imagine.
You know, it even gives it a little more width. The way that
yeah, sure.
Yeah. You know, that's it.
It forms.
A picture of it, you know?
Oh, yeah, you got to have a photo.
Yeah, no.
An Instagram of that.
Please Instagram that.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Maybe I'll get a Tempur-Pedic commercial.
Why not?
You know what I mean?
The way you presented that was beautiful.
No, but I'm just telling you. It's just, I just can't listen to it, though, you know?
What are we
I don't
doing?
Want to hear about it. What are we doing?
I don't blame you.
Ellen
oh, we're going to play Troublemaker. Yeah. But, you know, I want to talk for a minute about, you know, you were telling me on the ride over you got a call from somebody cool.
Oh, from Slash. Oh, that's this morning with Slash.
Yeah.
No, it's I'm telling you, lately my whole world has been rock and roll because, you know, like I said, you know, the kid's got the Late Late Show. And
and we saw him out in Burbank and a couple of the guys from Guns N' Roses were out there.
Yeah, Duff McKagan was there with his wife. And like 2 days later, you know, I'm sitting with Duff and Tom Mayhew. I mean, these were, you know, I have a lot of history with that band. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
you do.
They're
the Rose Bowl.
Well, I always Killer. Looked at them as, you know, I had to bring them up. At the VH1, some award show for VH1.
Right.
And, you know how they give you the stupid intro? And, you know, I just threw it to the side. I said,
of course.
I'll do the intro. You know, I don't need you to write out how I feel about this band. And basically what I said is what the Beatles started many decades ago in rock and roll, Guns N' Roses peaked.
Yeah.
You know, and that was my intro for them. And so, yeah, some of the guys have been coming out and seeing the band, and, yeah, I mean, they're just, I just love them. So this morning I was on with Slash because, you know, I saw Slash when I just did a tour in Australia a few months ago, and I ran into him, I don't know, I was in Australia like an hour, we were at the same hotel, and these are, you got to understand, I used to have so much fun with them. I mean, even, you know, Slash, I remember one time going up to a house he had. And, you know, at that time, you know, these guys were just going berserk. You know, it was, you know, we were all just becoming really famous. You know, you know, I was doing the arenas. That's how I met these guys. They came to a show, and that's how we all became friends. And they would ring my bell. I was living in an apartment up near the Rock and Roll Ralph's. And, you know, all of a sudden I'd hear Tom Mayhew, the road manager, going, Dice, it's us. What are you doing? Let's go hang out in the parking lot, you know.
Rock stars love you, man.
Well, we just always got along really well, and I wound up doing the Rose Bowl with them.
That was
in 92.
An amazing thing to me. That's an amazing thing.
Well, I always
for a stand-up comedian, that's unbelievable.
Well,
man.
You know, it was Metallica, then myself, and then Guns N' Roses. And so that was, in my mind, one of the greatest things I ever got to
that's
do
unbelievable.
In my history.
Yeah.
And I did over 300 arenas.
Well, you know, did a lot of big shows, but that's awesome.
But to do, you know, to be with Guns N' Roses and to take that bow at the end with all of them.
Insane.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just hanging out with Slash in Australia and just talking about, you know, different things with the band. You know what I mean? And
they're getting behind the kids, aren't they?
Well, they're behind them, and I'm behind them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I always just thought they were the greatest.
Great band.
They were
great
the greatest.
And Duff is a cool dude.
Yeah, so cool. Duff is good. They're all cool. They're all great. Yeah. I've had so much fun with all of them. And, you know, just, you know, talking about, because I was, you know, I'd say, like, you know, what was the problem with you and, you know, Axel, you know, but you got to understand, artists, you, me, Eleanor, rock stars, very sensitive.
Yeah.
We're all very sensitive. But in Australia, when we were sitting there, he was just saying, like, all this, you know, great stuff about Axel, and it was great to hear because, you know, through the grapevine you hear, oh, Slash said that, or Axel said
right.
that. And all he was saying was, like, amazing stuff about him.
Do you think something might be happening?
Well, you know what? There's something going on that I'm working on that, you know, could possibly just be incredible. I'm not going to talk much about it, but, you know, it involves both of us.
Okay.
You know, the original lineup, myself, and, you know, just, you know, because I'm very into creating history, because Duff was asking me the other day, like, you know, because I play, like, vinyl at the Hard Rock, you know, and I do, like, 20 weeks a year there,
yeah.
and the concerts I do are no more than, like, 3,000 people a night, because I'm not really into, you know, I'm doing all this acting stuff. I just work with Scorsese and Woody and
I gotta find
Doug
out about,
Ellen,
yeah.
who, you know, it gave me a career again.
Loved you in the Blue Jasmine.
Yeah, see,
you
but that's
great.
The stuff I'm doing now. So when I do the live stuff, I love it, but I'm not, I don't need to prove I could go into arenas when I already did over 12 million people.
Yeah.
I think at
that's
a time
sorta.
Where there was no computers. Everybody was just like,
right.
you got to see them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, today they're building. How many followers you have? How many tweets did you do today? I can't even believe sometimes when I look at Twitter, you know, all these guys that just keep tweeting,
yeah,
tweeting.
They're tweeting all
I go,
day.
They don't have time to brush their teeth in between
yeah.
tweets. You know, and then the feelings get hurt when you get a hater, and it's a, you know, I, you know, it's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did it at a time
you didn't
where,
need all that.
Where if they saw you and you delivered, all of a sudden, you know, I was selling out arenas anywhere from 20 minutes to 41 minutes.
Wow.
You know, in Eleanor's hometown of Philly, I did the Spectrum 3 times.
That's amazing.
Without
to me.
Trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it is great to have, you know, certain comics that have come up now, you know, that aim for that.
Sure, you got
know,
your Dane Cooks and
like I became good
Russell
friends
Peters.
With Russell Peters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one night we're hanging at the Comedy Store and he goes, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I would watch you and I'd go, that's what I want to be. And that's the greatest compliment you could get because,
yeah.
honestly, we all influence each other.
Yeah.
I got influenced by people. I influence people. My kids, the L.A. Rocks, got influenced from Guns N' Roses.
Sure.
So, you know, when I'm sitting there with Duff McKagan, and Duff is telling my son Max, not only are you a great drummer, he tells him why he's a great drummer.
Yeah.
And then I get home with Max, and Max goes, I can't believe what I was listening to.
Yeah.
You know, because I was telling, you know, since they're little kids, I would say, you know, I'm friends with these guys. But, you know, our careers go in different ways. Our lives go in different ways.
You know, I was sitting by Duff and I was watching him. He was really studying Max and what he was doing.
He wasn't
and
just looking around.
No,
he was really
watching what he was doing and he was impressed.
Thing.
Yeah, no, he's, you know what? He's a world-class musician.
Yeah.
And when you get those guys and they come watch your kids, I mean, after that night, you know, 3 days later, there were people there from Atlantic Records. So I'm, like, starting to negotiate a deal for them with Atlantic.
Wow. That's
you know, it's
crazy.
Just unbelievable.
Do you enjoy that? We were talking earlier, you always were that way with your career. Do you enjoy that management strategy type stuff?
You know why I enjoy it? Because in my whole life, everything I ever did was not just about me. You know, that complete narcissism, like me. There was always a reason for the things I do.
Right.
You know, like when I was trying to make it as a comic, it was about my own family, my own parents, and giving them everything they ever dreamed of, those kind of things.
Sure.
So if I got there, I could give them those things, and that's what happened. And my father worked with me. You know what I mean? So, you know, even coming back in my career, even this resurgence, having, you know, from all these things from Entourage to doing Indestructible, my special, to Woody Allen, to Scorsese,
wow.
to now a book being out there
yeah,
about
get
your life.
Book. Yeah,
you know, it's like I did that to show my own kids that you can do this if you believe you can. That's how it works, and
yeah.
that's what they're doing. And so, yeah, I mean, it used to be like a dream for them, going, you think I'll ever meet Duff or Axl or Slash or, you know, and now they didn't know, like, Duff was even coming to the show.
Wow.
They had no idea. You know, the last thing I'm going to tell my boys, you know, when they're getting ready for performance, hey, guess who's going to be sitting here? You know, so you don't tell them.
Yeah.
And, you know, after the show, when we got home, you know, they're saying, you know, so I look up and I'm going, can that be? Is that Duff with his wife from Guns N' Roses?
What I liked about it was how into it Duff was. He was into, like, helping the guys.
Yeah, it was just great to watch, and it's great to watch how everybody's hanging out again. And
it's awesome,
you know,
man.
You know, I just always looked at them like just the greatest rock band ever, Guns N' Roses. And, I mean, we've only had, you know, you had the Beatles, you had Led Zeppelin, you had the Rolling Stones, Metallica, Guns. There's only so many that go to that kind of level.
To that level, yeah.
You know, but they went so far. You know, I mean, it was like out of this atmosphere. Yeah. That's how big it was.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe, you know, because I love those guys, that it could be that again. You know, I believe, you know, there are generations that have come now, like my kids, my oldest kid's only 24 years old. What would be greater than seeing just the greatest band ever, you know, stand on a stage together? So,
That'd be cool.
If there were any problems, I don't know, because, you know, when I spoke to Slash, he was just like, no, I'm all good with everything.
Sometimes time does it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I didn't talk to my friend Hot Tub Johnny for 19 years.
Wow.
19 years.
And he was your good friend.
Just for a goof.
Yeah.
Just for a goof.
Just to see how long we could go. And now we talk like every day, like one day went by. There was no questioning, how come I never heard from you? You did this. It was just, hey, what are you doing? No, nothing. What are you doing?
Just picked right back
19
up.
19 years. It's the greatest goof I've ever pulled off.
I love it. If you and Hot Tub Johnny can get back together, then
right?
let's hope for anyone.
I have the plan. I have, you know, we're talking about, you know, there's some talk going on.
All right, that's awesome. My guest, Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah, the Dice Man.
And also
Eleanor. And Eleanor.
Yeah, don't forget.
Come on,
I'm
Eleanor.
I'm still here, Freach.
I love
you. I got one shoulder out for you. Killing me over here, Freach.
Okay. You know what? Max, a great drummer, he told me he liked Bonham, was one of his favorites, of course. Uh-huh. And he also liked Ginger Baker.
Yes.
Ginger Baker.
Favorite of mine. Yeah, from Cream.
The greatest.
I thought. Yeah. Those are two of the best right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Baker.
Frage had Baker stories, didn't
he? Yeah, I got a Baker story. He did my show one back at another station a couple years back.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy was managing him. And he goes, I want to stay at Smith's house. I go, what? And he goes, yeah, I like you. I want to stay at your house. So he slept on my couch for a week, Ginger Baker.
What was that like? Did he play drums there?
No, he had me driving him around. And the whole time, I would drive him around to stuff. And then he would complain about Clapton.
Oh.
That was all, because Clapton wouldn't get together for the reunion tour. And because Clapton already had a solo thing going. So he didn't really need it. And Ginger and Jack Bruce were mad at him. At that time, they later finally got together.
You know what? Like I say, every art, you know, we're all nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Baker is definitely just.
Oh yeah, he was out there, man.
Can you imagine him playing the drums in your place?
Just amazing.
One of the greatest, maybe the greatest.
Andrew and I used to have an apartment together, and he and the boys would play like loud, like drums, you know, like full on in the apartment, tiny apartment, and they would play, and people would. Up on the door. Hey.
Yeah, Franklin Towers.
Remember, right, okay. Turn the radio down. They'd be screaming. Turn the radio down.
Did you ever drink the rusty
down.
Water?
Ew.
No, but I bet it, yeah.
That's the only thing in the building.
That's the only thing that bothered me.
Right? Was it rusty water?
Yeah, you turn it on and it was like gold was coming out. You know,
if only.
You know.
But I remember the guy was like, turn the radio down. And Andrew goes, I will.
You're right.
He's still playing.
Sometime. Yeah.
It was so loud.
You can drum too, right? You're pretty drum.
I could play drums.
Yeah.
But they would play dual, like they weren't in an apartment. Like Max would play
I started
and
out
Andrew
playing
would play.
Drums.
Did you?
Yeah.
Insane.
Do you think that
people.
Helps with comic timing? A little bit?
Like to play the drums while I'm doing a set?
You
no,
mean
I mean
like
just
your
in your
beats?
Timing and your beats.
Oh, your beats, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Beat,
yeah.
Beat.
Yeah.
I would think.
A lot of comics are drummers.
Sure. I remember Carson was a drummer. And
Bill Burr's a drummer.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeff Altman.
Jeff Alt is a drummer?
He's a pretty great drummer.
Is he really?
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, we would always talk drums.
Now, how did Max get into that? He just, his instrument?
You know what? One day he just asked me, he goes, well, you know, he was 10 years old. He goes, would you show me, teach me how to play drums? So I gave him like, you know, I got him behind the kit and I tricked him into learning the what I call the standard rock beat.
Right.
Because I told him, I said, you know what? All right, I'll teach you, but I got to tune him a little first. So I got behind the bass drum. I played with it. And the beat is like, boom, boom, just like that. And I'm going, boom, boom, on the bass drum. And I go, Max, would you do me a favor? Just get behind and do exactly what I was doing so I could just hear what it sounds like.
All right.
And he did it, and he's doing it exact. And then I said, all right, let me tune up the snare drum, you know. So I'm hitting the bass like I was doing, boom, boom, da, boom, boom, da. I go, Max, do me a favor. Just do that. I just want to hear it, and then we should be all right. And he gets behind the drum, boom, boom, da, boom, boom, da. And I go, you now know the standard rock beat. I'll come check on you in a week.
And that's how it started.
Yeah.
Oh
so instead of thinking he's got to learn exactly what I'm playing, I just tricked him into the beat.
Ah, and he just took right to it.
And then Dylan followed. Next thing you know, they're on two drum sets side by side doing the same exact things, the same exact fills. It was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, nice my house early. Now. You can walk by my house 2:30 in the morning and just hear the music.
That's true.
First you see the house shaking.
Always.
You're going, where's that coming from? Right when we had the
Even
house
in
on
Hollywood.
Portney,
yeah, in
they
Hollywood.
They'd be playing and they were really young.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I mean? You know, Max was 12, so it was to, what was four away
oh, boy,
from
is this
12,
tough? Four,
seven. No, right?
No one's talking to you anymore.
Hey, look.
You know you're on air.
I'm bad at
people
math, too,
hear
man.
You.
Yeah.
I'm a comic.
But whatever.
Yeah,
come on. We
comic.
Don't have to know
no,
math.
No, but they would be playing.
I'm telling
you. You know, and really nobody would come to the door, which was nuts. You know, one time somebody, you know, came banging on the door
party.
Like 3 in the morning. Oh. You know, and then what was great, when we lived in that house, the Courtney house, you know, like on the, you know, on the weekends, you know, they were like 7 and 11, you know, where, you know, when I was, so we'd go to the gym, like,
oh,
by
yeah.
the you know, at, like,
midnight.
At midnight.
Right.
You know, so by the time we're done, by the time we get to Ralph's, it's 3 in the morning, and you can see, like, the few people that are in there, like, women looking like, are you kidding me?
Does this guy,
does this guy have children out at 3 in the morning?
Is
but it's
the,
I explained to the kids, yeah. best time to shop. Nobody's around.
It is the best
it
time.
The
you don't
best
have
time.
To hate anybody. You don't got to fight for a spot. You don't got to get that look, that right. Mieskite
well,
look.
Yeah.
That look, I hate you for taking my... You know what I mean?
You just stumped over.
Because every day it's an altercation.
It's always something.
Hold on. Remember, we would go late night to Ralph's.
Yeah.
And sometimes we would argue because that happened.
I can't
no,
see that
I was
happening.
Filming a show with
okay.
my video camera.
Oh, so he would
I remember that. At
he
the...
would put the camera between the bread.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then we'd meet and
yeah,
argue.
Yeah, because I had the...
remember at Luxor?
The automatic turn-on.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
Like the little thing you can... What is that called again?
The remote.
A remote.
A remote to turn
so
it on.
I would stuff, like, the camera in the bread, and she'd look at me like, you just destroyed, like, 4 loaves of bread sticking the camera in there.
It's worth it. We got
and
the
then,
shot.
And yeah, then, like, all of a sudden, you know, I hit record, and we're doing the scene. And when people would watch these tapes, they go, how do you get a shot like that?
Right.
I go, well, you know...
Remember
I used
the lady?
To love, I don't know, I got a thing about bread. Like sometimes I like going into the grocery
right.
and just going berserk and throwing all the bread off the shelves.
Yeah,
why not?
It's not funny
but
when he does it.
When I'd have you film it. What are you talking
yeah,
about?
I know.
You would
I said
laugh your ass off.
It's funny to them at Ralph's. To me, I
everyone
was
else
dying.
Loved it.
If that's what I needed
that
for
a
scene, where
grown
am I?
Man. With sweatpants on.
I don't know. Where am I going to get all that bread from the grocery?
Except the grocery.
I needed it for the shot.
Yeah.
But people had to buy it. I mean, it was horrendous.
Remember
how
wrong it was dented.
We had a big argument in there on film. When I walk away.
Well, then it's on discount.
Wait a minute. It's 3 in the morning, and there's a woman in the next aisle.
Yeah, because I threw like a bushel of bananas at her the night before. It was what I called the Thanksgiving episode.
And this woman looked at me all serious and was like, no one has to live like this.
No, that's not what she said, yes, but it was did. Close.
What did she say?
Because I remember when you told me, I couldn't stop laughing.
I remember her raincoat. Yeah, what did
she goes, no woman deserves to be treated like that. You know, she don't know I'm filming.
Come on.
You know, and I said, Eleanor, I go, you know, we got to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they call the cops,
God forbid,
even if you say it's not a domestic dispute,
they're going to,
because of the image of Dice, I'm going to be dragged out of here in handcuffs.
Yeah.
And because he threw the bananas at me, I would have let them.
Well, we could have filmed that.
She braced for the banana.
See,
she knows
right?
She
braced. Now, remember when we did the...
Nobody's better with a banana than Eleanor.
Than an Eleanor, of course.
This is true.
Eleanor works bananas.
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows. Now, remember we did the Luxor, and then the whole time you were shooting, like, you'd shoot right up till showtime, and then you'd be like, you'd almost be annoyed that you had to go on stage because you were in, busy shooting.
Because it's the last thing on my mind.
Yeah.
Even to this day.
Well, as soon as you walked off stage, you walk right over and start shooting again.
Yeah, because I have other things on my mind. I mean, I'm going to go out. I'm gonna. That's what I love when I see, like, comics, like, on stage with the notepad, like, trying to piece bits together. Right. I just stand there, you know, and I'm talking about great comics that we all love.
Yeah.
I'm going, are you kidding me? You can't just get up there and be funny and come up with stuff. You got to look at your little spiral notebook and check things off.
Oh,
idiots.
Boy.
My favorite line in that Luxor.
It drives me crazy.
Me too.
My favorite line in the Luxor was some guy yelled something out, a heckler or something, and you go, probably a renter.
I don't know who can tell you that story.
I don't know
story.
Why that made me laugh.
That's amazing. You have to tell
Yeah, no. I had this manager.
That made me laugh. I don't know.
I had this female manager for a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to me here.
She was amazing.
And she wasn't from the East Coast, but she had an East Coast attitude.
Right.
And an East Coast look, you know, with like the giant boobs.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right. You got stuck
the
on.
Kind of boobs you want to become friendly with.
Sure.
Wow.
The kind of boobs you want to talk to and go, hey, what's your name?
Anyway. This is part of the story.
Yeah, because she was like a thicker woman, you know what I mean? So anyway, so me and Eleanor go, and she's got one of these mansions in Beverly Hills, one of these 18,000-seaters. You know, not seaters, like 18,000 square feet.
Okay.
You know.
Got her own stadium.
And she was married at that time to her bodyguard. She had a bodyguard.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to go into the whole story, but she had a bodyguard. So this guy's like a, you know, trained killer, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And but when we came there, because her house like went down, like you had to go down the driveway. So I parked in this driveway that was right there. Okay? Like not down.
Right.
You know, I couldn't figure out, is this hers, is that hers? So, you know, we're there for a couple hours. All of a sudden, the neighbor, right?
Yeah.
He's ringing the bell, you know, and he starts screaming at her.
Uh-oh.
You know, and all of a sudden, we don't know what's going on because we're still in the house.
Yeah.
We hear screaming outside, and she's fighting with this guy, you know, and the husband don't do nothing because it's not getting physical. But all of a sudden, she yells at the guy. She goes, what are you even bothering me? You're a renter. You don't own.
That was it.
You're a renter.
Down. That was the
so that's where you got that. All right.
So that's where I got it, and that's why I use it on stage.
I love that.
I get everything just
it
walking
never
around
made
the
us
street.
Laugh.
Yeah,
it made
sure.
Us laugh so hard because she was like, you're a renter. Why would you even talk to me?
Yeah, like how
that
dare
is
you
very
come
condescending.
To my house?
I love that.
I'm an owner. You rent.
Come on. Come on,
you
man.
You should be in an apartment somewhere, not in this house. It was the greatest thing.
I loved
it. But it was the way she delivered it.
Yeah, it's always about the delivery.
Yeah, with her boobs at the helm.
Back to the boobs.
No, because they were there wherever
they were,
she went.
Everywhere she went.
Yeah, I can't really get away from
they
it.
Were
I don't know
who
gets mad at that stuff. You
I don't
know.
Get mad at it.
Why? Why?
I'm envious.
You see.
I'm just envious. I wish I had bigger...
No, I got to bring up something about... You know, you did my show on K-Earth, and they were kind of a really, no, Dice, and it was an uptight management. They were very worried that Dice might go off and say something, and the entire time, all he talked about was gangster movies, and I was so impressed that you knew every movie, you knew lines from Donnie Brasco, you knew, you had entire scenes memorized, dialogue, it was unbelievable.
Well, you know what it is?
He's got personality.
Personality? I mean, you're going to give you a personal.
I just want to make sure I'm not kissing Nat King Cole over here. Is that the rest of the line? I forget.
What?
We have to do more lines.
What do you mean?
That's from Goodfellas, right?
That's not what she said to me. There's something wrong with her. She doesn't know anything, this girl.
I don't remember. What do I say?
About what?
Nothing. I don't have a line in there.
What did you say to me?
You have personality.
Personality means you're going to get a personal.
He does. He has personality.
Personality means you're going to get a personal. No, because of where I grew up, like in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, so when you see those movies, you relate.
Sure.
You know, knowing who maybe they're about, like the real people. Sure.
You knew Donnie Brasco type people.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and some of my friends.
It's not really anybody's business.
Some of my friends don't understand, like, you know, because I try to help a lot of people, and sometimes they insult, you know, other people by not doing what I tell them to do, like with Tom Green pulls now.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean?
You know,
I asked Tom Green to do something. He don't do something. This ain't coming from me. This goes all the way back to Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, this is Vincent's order. This isn't me.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? It's like Mikey B coming over, and I give him the gift from Terrible Tony. 1, 2, 3. Tomas. And he don't want to accept it because he didn't meet him.
Wow.
I mean, this is crazy stuff.
No,
so when
crazy.
I call up Tom Green, I go, Tommy G, you know, this is what needs to be done to do what you got to do with what you got.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I got it.
Because then everybody gets involved. I mean, we had, how long was Bobby 57 out in Jersey, all the way out in the boondocks, right?
Yeah.
Because of what he caused between Connecticut all the way back to Brooklyn, that we had to hide this guy out all the way in the boondocks of Jersey till he comes out.
Right. That's
what
happened.
You know what I mean? And then Catwalk Joey opens his mouth, and he's got to go back in.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
This is crazy stuff.
That's crazy.
I hope he enjoys the boondocks.
You know what I mean? And then when we do that last thing, Tommy G goes, well, when do I get my end? You're in. We're getting calls from Larry and Eddie Maldonado out in Vegas, who we haven't been involved with for the last, I don't know, 15 years.
Right.
And they're asking for their end.
Uh-oh.
So where does that come?
Where's it gonna
come? That's what you got to do when I ask you to do something. You don't mess around with this kind of thing.
No.
I'm trying to help you do. I now have Tommy with a great girl.
Right.
You know, his
you hooked it up? Yeah.
She's a wonderful girl.
Right.
And, you know, I call this guy. I don't get a text. I don't get a text, Tommy G, my second best friend.
Right.
Come on.
The Dice Man is here. Taking a smoke break. He's coming back in a minute.
Historical, as you would say.
Yeah.
Historical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love that whole segment there. I don't know what he was. That was awesome. I'd hate to be Bobby 57 out in the boondocks out there in Jersey.
That was from Casino, I think. That was great.
Pretty awesome.
Tell him no. It's like with Peter Dobson, right?
Exactly.
Peter Dobson's going, what are you talking about? I go, you're in this movie because of moves people made to move you.
That's right.
Right.
Not because of what you want. Nobody cares what you want. We want what Vincent wants. When Vincent makes the call, you don't ignore that. You don't ignore Wheels. Wheels is not the underboss over here.
No.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Wheels is with me.
Yeah, he's your guy.
Exactly. So when Wheels calls you and tells you to do something, this is what I mean. That's why I have a hard time with my friends, because nobody understands.
They don't get it.
Where anything's going or where the money went.
Yeah, I get
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
I kind of, yeah.
No, that's not what you're saying, Eleanor. What do you mean that's what you're saying?
Andrew
you
Dice Clay on the show,
what
by
I'm
the way. Frasier
they
Smith
don't
show.
Get it. They don't get it.
I mean, when you did the Luxor with me, Frasier, how do you think that happened?
Well, I know it was all hooked up.
Yeah, because everything somebody likes you.
I got a call.
But you're the kind of guy, listen to me.
Oh, boy.
You're the type of guy that could be worked with. You're the type of guy that when you're asked to do something, when you're asked to show up and maybe go, oh, how are you? Nice to meet you. Do a few minutes. You show up.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't go, well, I don't know. I got this other thing I got to do. No. That's not how it works when we're helping you.
I get it.
You understand?
Yeah, I do.
I do. Can I say I get it?
I love that gig, too.
What? What do you want to get? Go get me a cup of coffee.
What? Why would you talk to me?
Three brown sugars
like that?
And a little half and half. Get out of here. Walk away.
No.
Wow.
Walk away.
Here we go, folks.
I'll be right back.
She's the funniest.
Cool. She's funny.
I'm telling you, when you see Eleanor on that special,
I can't wait to see
it. She just kills it.
She's killing him.
I didn't see it yet, but
I see her every Monday at the Comedy Store. She's great.
You can see her at every club on Monday night because she does about 47 sets a night.
I know. That's why she's good.
She's excellent.
Yeah.
How long have you been opening my shows?
With you, 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've been doing stand-up only 8. There was 1 year.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. You know, when it comes to that, I give her all the credit in the world.
How'd they like her down in Australia?
Get her to cook.
Yeah,
hey,
that's not
good. He's talking
about
cooking. He said, how was I in Australia?
She would kill it every night.
Aww.
Every night.
Yeah.
It was so much fun watching her, especially because of the state of mind I was in.
Yeah, because he was standing upside down.
What?
Yeah, every day she would tell me. You know how Australia is.
Oh, upside down. Okay.
Australia is the bottom of the world.
Yeah.
So Bright Eyes over here every day would say, isn't it amazing how we're upside down? I go, you got to stop saying that to me.
Come on.
She goes, we're exactly upside down. It's not like we're on the side of the globe, or a quarter.
No.
We're right on the bottom. Like if you start climbing through the earth, you'll be in America.
No, I didn't say that. But if you
that's what you said?
Because we're on the top and Australia's on the bottom. Yeah. But she just kept reminding me of that.
Yeah, and it bothered him.
Wow.
But his shows were incredible down there. They went
berserk. He's got a lot of fans.
Berserk.
Well, he's got fans everywhere.
Right, but they went berserk.
But I also heard that Ford Fairlane has a huge
following.
Well, that's why I went.
In Australia.
My wife Valerie, would always tell me, you got to do Australia. And I don't like to leave the house. I'll be honest
with
you. So even, when we drive to Vegas, that's like a big deal for me. Or when I go to New York,
Sure.
But it made sense because every night in my audience at Vinyl in Vegas, there's always groups of Australians that would fly in to see me. But this is going on since Ford Fairlane came out because of all like the Australian references, So that's how big. They don't even call me Dice in Australia. They call me Ford. it's the funniest thing.
I think
but
it
great
just came
people.
Out.
They're
you know
awesome,
what I mean?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So great. Everybody.
Yeah,
was
we did
so
15
nice.
Concerts.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to ask about your pilot for Fox 21. What's going on with that?
Well, we shot it last week?
Mm-hmm.
This past week. A lot went on this past week. It's been a crazy week.
And how'd that go?
It's amazing. I mean, it's so...
I can't wait.
No, I'm telling you, Arno, when you see this, it's so stupid. Because I am.
Well,
I was never known for my brains, that.
Well, what's this about, this
pilot? Well, number one, the people working on it really get me.
Right.
You have the first brothers, Sean and Brian, they're the producers.
Uh-huh.
And they've done movies like The Cooler. They've done a bunch of movies, but that's my favorite movie.
I like The Cooler, yeah.
And you have Scott Armstrong, who's the writer, showrunner. And, he's done movies like Old School, Hangover 2. He's done 11
films.
He's partners,
awesome,
I think, with Todd Phillips. He's got 11 hit movies.
Yeah.
And when he heard that I wanted to do a show, he got together with me. And when I saw the written pages, he just gets what I do.
Right.
I don't want to say what the pilot is, but it's just, it's ridiculous.
Because I
live a ridiculous life, so they're sort of basing it off my,
life.
My stage life, my life, which is just ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand, Eleanor goes out with my uncle.
Yes.
Is that your uncle? Silver Fox is your uncle?
Yeah, Valerie's uncle, so he's my uncle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So Eleanor went from, my ex-fiancé to,
his aunt.
Yeah.
His aunt.
Hey, yeah.
By the way, am I wrong, or is your mother-in-law pretty hot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Lord.
Right?
And
yeah,
that's my boyfriend's sister.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's the sister.
Right? I met her at the Comedy Store.
We got to take tickets.
Pretty creepy, but...
We got to take tickets at my house to see who gets massage work first. Me, Max. I'll come down to get a little rub, and Dylan will be in there.
Yeah.
I'll be, Dylan, my back's killing me. He's going, come on. I go, you're 20. Get out of here. I want to get this done with her. Because Valerie has, she's got the most incredible nails in the world.
Yes.
Right.
But it doesn't work for back massaging.
Yeah.
So, I keep her mother downstairs. She's got her whole, little suite. Yeah, know, so if I get up early, I run down there for a half hour.
And she'll work it out. She massages.
Yeah,
she's
like
good.
She's
she
got will. Like yeah. you know, like the soothing massage. You know, you know what I mean. Yeah. They, you know, but
that's
Valerie's
always good.
Like Valerie could like really crack my back well.
Right.
You know,
but you need the mother-in-law for the soothing.
Right.
Yeah, like she's the mother-in-law hot. Could like warm it up.
There you go.
And then Valerie hops on and she cracks it.
All right.
Hops on. You know, and then, it's a family affair.
You know, sounds like,
funny?
It sounds like
I'll
a family
I'll tell you
thing.
Something funny with the
Eleanor.
With stupefaction over here.
Stupefaction.
So like when me and Valerie first started going out and we made one of our parties. Like
right.
we always have like parties. You've been there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know like all her friends and fans. So they're coming over and they see Eleanor like, you know, like really like working on me.
What were
like
we,
on
like,
the
laying,
floor.
Yeah. Right. yeah. I was laying
yeah.
on him, I think.
Yeah, she's Uh-oh. Laying on me, digging her elbows in. You know, and like the female relatives like Valerie's aunt is like Who's
going
the girl
on?
That's like all over your boyfriend here, your husband, whatever I was. I don't know what I was
at
yet.
That point,
yeah.
just a boyfriend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and she'd go, oh, that's Eleanor. That's his ex-fiance. You know, why is she here? Well, it's his opening act. You
yeah,
know, she
oh,
works
okay.
with him. And then she met my uncle.
The Silver Fox.
The Silver Fox.
Right.
You know,
that
Silver
was a hookup.
Fox Productions.
That's worked
Silver
out pretty
Fox
good.
Silver Fox Productions is what I like to call him, yeah.
And then that started.
Yeah. So
I like
now
the way
it's a whole thing.
Yeah, so it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's
Ron is the greatest. He was at the show.
I talked to Ron at
he
the show.
He is the greatest.
Yeah, I like Ron. All right, we're coming back, Dice Man.
But why are we going every time we come back?
Well, we got to do a legal thing, and then I want to ask you about your book.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right. You got a great show.
The Dice
you.
Man. Thank
so
you, Dice.
Fun.
Thank you, man.
Really
thank
do.
You.
Really been well, loving it here.
It's a pleasure to have you, of course, on. And Eleanor
Yay.
Is with us as well. And you got a book coming out.
Came out.
No, the book's
it's
out.
It's already out.
Yeah, the book's out.
The Filthy Truth. Is that what it is
yes.
called? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that title. Now, is there something you could share from the book that the public might not know about Ooh. The Dice Man? A story or anything that...
There's some great stories in the book.
Yeah,
oh,
there
I
are
can
great
imagine.
Stories in
yeah.
the book. But, you know, a book is like cliff notes of my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any autobiography is just cliff notes. And, like, I tell my boys stories all the time that just pop into my head. And I go... That's not in the book either.
Right.
Nothing's in the book.
Every
you know,
time.
I mean, the book's great.
Yeah.
You know, Simon and Schuster released it, and it's just, you know, those kind of things like blow my mind when you could like go into a bookstore, which I normally don't do.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You know, and see like a
imagine.
Book.
Yeah.
Like with all the pages, like. With all the pages, like how they like glue it together. I don't even know how. Like,
no.
I don't understand.
It is very
like,
intricate.
How they do, I gave them pictures to put in the book, and then it winds up like on their page.
That's weird.
Like I don't know how that happens. Like the whole concept.
I don't
of,
get
like,
that either. But it's cool that you got the.
He said I don't get that either.
I don't.
Yeah, like how you. I can't like turn it. You know, it don't come apart.
Yeah.
Good. Like how do they do that?
How
like
do
what
they
kind
do?
Of machine like does all that?
I don't know.
A big one.
That's why I'm not good with the computers.
You don't like computers?
You're well, not moving it's not that I don't like. I get it that, you know, like if you got to like send someone a note.
No, not a note.
Yeah. I got a text
school.
From you. I got a text.
A text. There
from
you go.
Dice.
Texting
yeah.
I'm good with.
Yeah.
It likes texting.
I believe in text.
Yeah, I got that.
You know, but like with the notes and everything.
Yeah.
You
emails.
Know, like, yeah. Email.
You don't do the emails?
What does email mean?
Electronic mail.
See, that's something,
right?
Like I ask my kids, I ask my wife, and they go, "Come on, you don't know what that." I never knew what it stood for.
But you
do
like,
you send them?
What?
Emails.
He don't like them because they're too long.
No,
right?
Because a lot of people just write stuff. They go on and on
That's
about stuff
saying.
You
right.
shouldn't be writing. You know, because everything's like monitored now. Everything.
Yeah, right. You
text
don't want that.
Too,
sometimes
though.
Want that out there.
Text too. All
but,
that.
But I erase the
yeah,
text.
But
is it
never
too late?
Gets
it's
really
too late.
I don't know. How, it doesn't.
That's what they say. I don't
it's
wow.
got to get erased, or else there won't
trust
be enough
nobody.
Room.
Yeah.
I never
I
trusted
either.
Anybody
I'll
in my
I'd
life.
Show up
you
at
can't,
house.
Man. Are
yeah.
you kidding?
You know, right. I don't trust anybody.
No, I don't blame you, Dice. I don't blame you. Now,
ever.
We've got. I want
to
ask about
there's no reason to trust. I don't trust me.
No. Yeah. to begin with. What about Scorsese and this new project for HBO and Mick Jagger's producing it too? And
that's exciting. I did it this past summer.
It's about the music industry in the 70s in LA.
Yeah, like the punk scene, the disco scene.
Great era.
And you know, just the fact, you know, that's where I am humble when it comes to the acting stuff, because you know, I don't get to do it a lot. And
You know, you impressed everyone in that Blue Jasmine, though.
People really like it, but I'm very humble about it, because especially, you know, when the few guys I've worked with over the last couple of years, everybody from Doug Allen to Woody to Scorsese, I mean, these are like just great, great people, you know, in that field. And, you know, when I'm sitting there talking to Scorsese, I'm like, am I really just talking to you? You know, and then we like get into it, and it's like you're just buddies. Like we really got along
well.
Did you?
Yeah, I could see him getting you. Yeah.
Yeah, he really gets me. He understands.
What was Woody like?
Woody's also great, but you know, Woody's quieter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we had good conversations on the set. We would talk about his stand up and how he started and the kind of places he would play. You know, like in New York, you know, the rock, like CGBGs.
No.
What is that called again? Was that the CGBGs?
I wouldn't call it CGBGs.
No, like the older rock clubs, CGBGs. Like, because comedy clubs, you know, at that time weren't really happening yet. So they played rock and roll clubs.
Oh, is that
right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, comics would play strip clubs, rock clubs.
All over, burlesque.
You know, but, I mean, just, you know, it was...
Woody was funny, too. I had his double album.
I love Woody.
Yeah.
I just can't even believe that I work with these guys and that, you know, people...
my favorite part is they brag about Andrew.
Well, that's the other thing I was saying, when the rock stars are such big fans of yours. I've seen them around you. They're like in awe.
But Woody Scorsese, they brag about him.
About like, working with...
Yeah.
With
Stop
guys.
It. No, yeah.
No, Woody... No, Scorsese, remember when Bobby Cannavale came to see us in Long Island?
Yeah.
He's the lead in the thing. He's like all Marty... I can't call him Marty because I never met him, but that's what they, you know, they worked with him. So he's like, that's all he talks about, how great that is.
Yeah, he would talk, and I'm like, I can't even hear this. I'm glad.
And that's amazing.
Well, I'm just glad they like the work that I'm putting down on
film.
Yeah,
that's great. It's great. I mean, I haven't seen it.
And I'm excited for it. You know, it's an HBO show, and I think people are really going to love it once it airs. It's going to be a little while till it airs.
That's a great era.
You know, but just to get those opportunities...
Well, Dice, you're blowing up again.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It's kind of nuts.
Right?
Crazy.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, man. I'm real happy for you.
And
I'll ruin it. I ruin everything.
Keep it up.
Enjoy it while you can. And listen, I want to...
Like I know you know Stern.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sure.
So like a couple of years ago when things started, you know, Stern would say to me, he goes, let me ask you a question, Dice. He goes, you know... You'll build your career again, and you'll build it to like an unbelievable pinnacle, and then you'll just ruin it again. Like, why would you do that? You know, because he's not about ruining. You know.
Yeah. Well, why would you do that?
Just for the goof.
Yes.
You know, just to
goof.
See if I could do it again.
I got you.
You know, that's the fun of you know, falling down. You know, that you could get up again and really try to make things happen.
But it's not so easy to get up. And you
it wasn't
it
easy,
like,
but you were single-handedly.
You did it, though. You did
You know, I used to stand with Eleanor and go, you know, I don't know which way to turn, but I figured it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Once I got rid of her.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything.
Son of a thief.
No, I'm kidding. She's the greatest.
She is awesome. And you know what? Your kids are awesome. This band, LA Rocks. I want to plug
this
the it's coming up at the Paladino out there in Reseda. It's a great
Saturday.
9:30.
Cool
club. And they are really good.
Eleanor, what's their like, you know, for people that want to hear their music or their Facebook?
I think,
that's the stuff.
YouTube, all that stuff. They're on YouTube. They have their own YouTube.
Well,
I think LA Rocks has their own YouTube channel. They have Twitter. They have Facebook. They have
I don't know what it is. I can't say it if I don't know what it is.
LA Rocks.
I mean, people could Twitter me.
Yeah.
At the Real Dice Clay.
Yes.
All right, cool. There you go.
At the Real Dice Clay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I'm not that stupid, Eleanor. I know my Twitter.
I didn't say you were stupid. What's wrong with you?
No big.
Okay, here we go.
No big,
you said
stupid?
It before when you
I
came
didn't.
In.
At LA Rocks.
At LA Rocks.
Oh, there you go.
How hard is
that?
I said
LA Rocks. At the Real Dice Clay.
Yeah. At the Real
at
Dummy
apartment.
Clay. At Eleanor's apartment.
That's right. That would be a
Everyone
good...
Everyone knows where that is.
That would be a good twitch for them.
Yeah.
Like a real dummy, Clay.
Well, Dice, I love you.
No, not dummy. See
a
what
real
I mean?
Dummy.
I know you really believe that.
No, I don't. I don't say you're dumb.
You never said I'm...
Your wife does. I don't.
You never called me stupid.
Oh, I call you stupid.
Wasn't that the same thing?
I guess so.
Well,
but no, I don't believe not. It. I just say it
because
like...
Because sometimes you could just do something that's stupid.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
And like you do when a I lot went of out with you.
Thing.
Oh,
wow. No, no, but sometimes you could do something stupid, but when you're dumb.
Right.
You don't know you're being stupid.
Right. You're right. Wow. See how smart you are.
I'm not that dumb.
That's pretty smart.
I'm just stupid.
Ah, boo, boo, boo.
Shut up. Don't do that. I'm not a five-year-old. I hate when they do that.
Who's not a five-year-old? Look at you.
Who does that?
You're a five-year-old. You look like a giant third grader. Look at you. You look like a giant third grader.
What are you talking about? I got my Harley gloves on.
You got your fingerless gloves on.
What kind of outfit should I wear to come in here? Should I wear a tuxedo?
Yes.
Now who's stupid?
Me in a tux.
She's great. She's great. Frazier's great.
Dice, I love you, and thanks for coming to the show, man.
Thank you for having me
I'm
on.
Excited for all the stuff you got going on, the Scorsese project, all your acting stuff, your new pilot, and the book. That is awesome. And the kids.
The kids. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be in
LA
Vegas starting
LA
February.
They'll be rocking at, L.A. Saturday night, 9:30 at the Paladino.
Dino. Yeah. Get out
look, I don't even know the name. I am dumb.
No.
I am.
No. Come on, Dice.
I'm going to go home to my Tempur-Pedic.
And we might have some... Break a few more cubicles. All right. Thanks for joining us. That's Andrew Dice Clay, the Dice Man. Eleanor, thank you. Frazier Smith Show, 95.5 KLOS. Well, Mel, that was pretty awesome, the Dice Man.
My jaw hurts.
Wow. Yeah, that was. I love when he argues with Eleanor. That's pretty classic. And that whole bit he was doing from... What was that from?
I think it was either Casino
was
or...
Was that a
bit?
I don't think it was...
Goodfellas.
Was it Goodfellas?
Goodfellas.
Oh, man. That was awesome. Okay. So, time for tweets. And then we're going to talk to Mark Kendall.
Yes, we are.
From Great White.
Yes, we are.
Always love Great White.
Rock me, buddy.
Oh, man. One of my favorite all-time songs. Yes. And KLOS played a lot of Great White.
Their album is right on behind us right there.
Is
old
it?
Album. Yeah. Yeah, for Rock Me.
Shows you how much I've noticed since I've been back here.
You don't look behind yourself.
I never do. No, but I loved having the Dice Man on and his kids band. I'm not just doing that to, you know.
No, they're really good.
They're really good. All right, tweets. This tweet comes from Moses, who tweets, "Happy birthday, Fraze. Now you're officially older than me. Hashtag Viagra smoothie." Yeah, I'll try anything. Hashtag how's your staff? By the way, if you have an erection lasting longer than 2,000 years, call God. And Bill Cosby tweets, great, now they just canceled my upcoming NBC show, 2.5 Roofies. Hashtag bitter pill to swallow. Something like that.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take it to Lifetime. I'm sure they'll love it. Hashtag snooze you lose. And this tweet comes from Matt Kemp, who tweets, San Diego, really? What am I, Steve Garvey?
Ooh.
Hashtag bleeding Padre Brown. Well, you know, that just sounds bad.
Yes, I hope.
Hashtag triimodium. Right? And Frosty from Heidi Frosty and Frank's tweets, hey, how about the Frosty and Brian show? Hashtag miss you. Wow, that sounds like a ratings bonanza, actually.
Wow.
What about Lad and D's? No? Smoke them and joke them. I could see it. And finally, the flu tweets, hey, you thought you got rid of me, huh? Hashtag I'm back. Yeah, well, take this. Hashtag ZPAC. All right, that's it for tweets brought to you tonight by Ticket Whore. If you need tickets and you need them now, with no questions asked, try Ticket Whore. Is that a Dice Man cigarette?
Yes, he left his cigarette.
Really?
I've already put it on eBay.
Yeah. We're getting a fortune for that. Wow. He doesn't actually smoke them anymore.
No, he does not.
It's a prop.
It's a prop.
At this point, which is good. All right. You know, I always love Great White. The band is just, I always loved them. Local band, made it big. And Mark Kendall, the co-founder guitar player on the line right now. Mark, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, man?
How are you?
Yeah, Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Well, now, you guys, where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Huntington Beach, Marina High.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Is that where you ran into Jack Russell for the first time? in high school?
No, actually, I met him quite a bit after that when I moved inland. I started to get in bands and stuff, and I met him when I was, I think, 20 years old.
Uh-huh. And
19.
And you just been playing around in different local bands?
Yeah, I was in a local band. We played originals and covers, and, you know, we played the Starwood and Whiskey and all that. And my singer at the time was like 28 years old, which was kind of ancient.
Yeah.
You know, back then.
Sure.
And he was kind of burned out. You know, he needed three Budweisers every practice, and it wasn't happening. And this friend of mine told me about this kid that sang really good. He saw at a party, and that's when I first met Jack. He came and auditioned. I played him a couple originals, and he goes, you know, we decided to go off on our own.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool. And those, I love those old clubs like Starwood.
Yeah.
That was an awesome circuit, wasn't it, back in those days?
Yeah. It was an electric time, you know, and then in the way early 80s, it was really going, and... you know, we were having a blast. We were playing Orange County and you know, just making the circuit, playing all those clubs, Troubadour, Whiskey, Starwood.
Well, and I read a thing about that's how you got the name. Great White was at the Troub one night, right? Somebody drove by and yelled out, because I guess, you know, you've always had the white thing going with your hair and the guitar and everything. And is that true?
It was kind of an amazing night, actually. What happened was there was, finally, somebody in the crowd that meant something as far as industry,
yeah.
A guy called Alan Niven, and he came backstage and gave us his card and said to come meet him at the record company where he worked called Enigma, and I guess they had signed Berlin about a year before, no, Motley Crue a year before this happened, and when I drove after the gig, I was driving with some people, and I stuck my head out the window and screamed something. I don't know, you know, whatever I yelled, and somebody pointed, and he was standing outside of the club, and somebody pointed and said, "There goes Great White."
Wow.
The following day, when we went down to the record company and spoke with him, he said he liked the band, you know, he liked our songs and everything, but the name has got to go. We were called Dante Fox. That was the name of
the Well, I think you might have been right on that.
Which we thought was a great name back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's super cornball, but he goes, and we go, "Oh, no, we got to think of a name again. And he goes, "No, you don't. I got your name, Great White." We were like, yuck. You know? And he goes, "No, it'll be fine." He goes, and we go, "But we're going to lose all our following." And he goes, "Don't worry about those 70 people."
Meanwhile, the guy in the car wants residuals. Right?
We're thinking, "Oh my God, we're going to lose all our following."
Well, man.
Anyways, you know, when we thought of the shark image and everything, we thought it's fine, and we'll run with it.
Well, it worked for sure. Now, you know, KMET was around back then. And is that where you first got played locally on a big station, was KMET?
Yeah, you know, our manager was so good. He was just a really good manager, obviously, later worked with Guns N' Roses and everything. Well, we didn't really get a proper record deal. His business partners didn't want anything to do with us, but he believed in the band. So he said, "Okay, well, at least Green World, we need them to distribute their EP or whatever."
Uh-huh.
They said, "Well, that's fine, but we're not signing this band." So what we ended up doing is getting a distribution deal on Green World, but our record company was a guy named Fred who loaned us.
Fred, yeah.
So we were on Fred Records. Anyways, he called the band, all of us individually, and said, "Listen to KMET at so-and-so time." And my thinking was, there's going to be an ad for us playing the show or something. And all of a sudden, On Your Knees comes blasting over the radio. But then they kept playing it like all day and night. And
wow.
They're playing the song in like heavy rotation, and we don't even have a deal. This is like unheard of.
That's unheard of.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
And the only time I'd ever been played on the radio was on this local lick show called K-West, and they played one of our songs.
I remember that.
And that was my highlight reel back then.
So when you actually heard it,
every rotation was crazy.
When you heard it all day long on a huge station, that must have been something else.
Yeah, the arm hairs were raised, and I was calling every friend I knew, having a heart attack. I go, how did this happen? I didn't understand it, and I don't know. He just worked a lot of magic, and that created a little buzz in town. And before we knew it, we were going to every major label in the whole city of Los Angeles and speaking with all these labels. And after that followed, all of a sudden I'm on tour with Judas Priest and all this stuff. It was crazy.
That's awesome when it blows up like that. I remember we had Alice Cooper on not too long ago, and he talked about the first time he heard 18. Same kind of thing. His manager dropped off a record at this big station in Detroit, and nothing. They never heard anything. And then he was driving one day, and all of a sudden it came on his radio. And he said he had to pull over, and he started crying. It's pretty amazing.
I can imagine the feeling because I've had it, and especially later on when we got national recognition because. You got to understand, we were dropped off our label. Literally, we came off this tour of, 5 or 6 months with Judas Priest. We were over in Europe with Whitesnake for 3 months. And we got home, and the record company was not happy with our sales. And the father record label was Capitol.
Uh-huh.
So here we are, we make another demo record on our own. And somebody came down, and we managed to get some airplay with a song called Face the Day. And this time it was not only in L.A., but it was in Texas and Arizona as well. And that got interest in Capitol Records. But their subsidiary label was EMI America, and they had basically dropped us from the label. So go figure why the father company's going to sign up a band,
Yeah,
it's crazy. So we got a second opportunity, and that's when we came with Rock Me and some good radio songs, and then it really took off, so that was pretty sweet.
No, that's pretty awesome. That's an interesting story. And, of course, Rock Me, one of the all-time faves. I just love that. Everyone loves that song. KLOS really got behind that, didn't they?
They sure did.
Yeah.
And, like you said about KMET or whatever, they were going too, but KLOS was a huge station also.
Yeah.
So to get airplay in our hometown on the biggest station and have the song be a national hit, it was like, it's an unreal feeling. So I'm totally getting where Alice Cooper's coming from.
Yeah, that's got to be a thrill when that happens. Now, I guess we should talk about the tragedy in Rhode Island at the club with the fire. And, lost a bandmate and a lot of people, and that had to be devastating, to say the least.
It sure was. I'm still in touch with all those people. What happened was, we decided to take a hiatus from Great White and go off and do solo projects. So Jack was on tour with his solo band. I had just got done doing 12 shows in my solo band. I made a record too. And I was home, and his manager called me and said he wasn't selling any tickets, I guess, because he had gone off and done this really mellow record, and the great, hardcore Great White fans kind of weren't getting it. And so his manager asked me to go out and try to help the ticket sales or whatever. So when I went out there, he was calling it Jack Russell's Great White, and they were using this. He introduced me to all these band guys and everything, and they decided to, instead of playing all his originals and just Once Bitten, Twice Shy at the end of the set, they incorporated more Great White music. So instead of calling it the Jack Russell For You Tour, he started calling it Jack Russell's Great White or whatever.
Right.
But, Great White has never used pyro. We're really not a Kiss type spectacle band. You know?
Uh-huh, right, so yeah.
It was a little bit strange for me, and I wasn't really concerned about the safety at that time because Jack was like, the first night I saw it, he was standing right in the sparks, and I go, that doesn't hurt or anything? And he's like, no, it's just cold sparks.
Oh, wow.
I go, okay, but my concern was the cheesiness factor.
Yeah.
You know, they were playing in small clubs, and, you know, to have this, you know, sparkle thing, it was just, to me, a bit...
too much, yeah.
You know, one of the shows they played was at a... You could see people bowling from the stage, and Jack, in between a song, said, nice pickup. And I told them, if you guys use that stuff tonight, I'm flying home directly in the morning.
Oh, man.
No question.
Wow.
So, anyways, yeah, the night of the tragedy, I guess this place was just lined with gasoline and foam and, and just, you know, and then come to find out later, there was a Kiss tribute act where the bass player is like breathing fire like Gene Simmons and nothing happened. So, and they allowed smoking in the building and everything. So it was a very strange looking black foam.
Wow.
But I, you know, didn't think anything of it. Somebody said it was soundproof, so soundproofing for the neighbors.
But that's what turned out to be combustible.
Anyways, yeah, to be a witness to something so horrific, I really had a hard time with that. But the way I've healed through it all is by keeping in touch, very close touch with a lot of people from Rhode Island, almost on a daily basis.
Really? Oh.
Close friends with the people that started the family fund and everything. And, so that was not a good night.
No, it certainly wasn't. And but you're still fellowshipping with the survivors and helping them to heal, and you talk to them all the time?
Yeah, almost on a daily basis, because Victoria Pop and Todd King are the two that started the Station Family Fund, which was to raise money for the victims, you know, the families of the victims. And, you know, we're just really close. You know, I always like to get involved with helping any way I can and making people aware. And I was really happy, you know, at first bands didn't want to get involved, but in the past few years, you know, Tesla's done benefit shows for them.
And, oh, that's
and
good.
Dee Snider and a lot of, you know, people have come forward after all these years, so that was really nice
of
them to do that.
That's good, Mark. Well, I you know, I'm glad you're in touch with them, and, you know, I just always thought your band was great. That was a tragedy, and you know, but you've continued, and you're still playing shows out there, and you have something coming up. What's coming up?
Yeah, we're actually talk about full circle. We don't, for some reason, we don't play a lot in California. You know, we play all over the world, but we're actually coming full circle. Our home base was Orange County, way back in the day, and we just kind of went around Hollywood, you know, just playing all the clubs and stuff. We're playing at the House of Blues, and it's next weekend, next Saturday, during NAMM week. So
that's perfect.
Cool.
We'll
probably see a lot of people we know and stuff.
Sure, that'll be awesome. So that's next Saturday.
Next Saturday, January 24th, we're playing the House of Blues in Anaheim. It's right there, you know, at NAMM and everything. So,
that'll be cool.
Should have a good night.
That'll be great, man. Well, Mark Kendall, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to play Rock Me right now, one of my all-time faves. Everybody loves this song. And I remember they played it all the time here on KLOS back in the day. So here it is right once again. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Mark.
Good night, man.
You too, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you to Mark Kendall, too. That was very interesting.
Yes.
And for him to share that with us about the tragedy, that was interesting to hear. And I'm glad he's still in touch with the survivors and stuff. Fraser Smith Show. I want to thank the Dice Man, too, man. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable to have the Dice Man on the show. And
the whole family.
Yeah. Eleanor was here. The kids were here in that band. Yeah. You know, that band is really good. If you get a chance to get out to the Paladino.
LA Rocks. At LA Rocks music.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah. All right, Fraser Smith Show, we're continuing here. We have, is Sheik Stinkaboo on the line?
Yes, he is.
Oh, he's our favorite sponsor. We're also brought to you by Ticket Whore. They're big, too. But I like the Sheik Stinkaboo Hookah Lounge out there in Glendale. Apparently, he's a little mad at me about last night. It was my birthday, and I don't know what happened. Fraser Smith Show, brought to you by Ticket Whore, where your ticket goes through everybody's hands before you get it. And the Dice Man cigarette, what do we got? It's up to
$2,512 right now.
Beautiful, man.
eBay.
All right. All right, on the line right now, my favorite sponsor on the show. Sheik Stinkaboo. Sheik, what's happening?
Yeah, Fresh, happy birthday from everybody here at the Hamuli Lounge, Fresh.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
We miss you so much. We blocked off the Glen Oaks. We put a big picture of you on all the corners in front of the lounge, and we miss you, Fresh. I had a big party all planned.
I am really sorry about that, and thank you for doing all that for my birthday. I appreciate it. You know, I got a little tied up, literally.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what happened. I'm very good friends with the great Greek shipping magnate, Aristotle's Sexolopoulos.
Yeah.
And he was going to send me a woman that he originally met here at the Hamuli Lounge. She was our number one female hummus wrestler.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember her. Yeah, yeah.
Fatima Fatuma. And he allowed her to, he was going to let her give you unlimited lap dances up to five.
Yeah, up to five. That's unlimited?
Unlimited lap dances.
How's that unlimited?
Five.
Well, you know what? You know,
we have to stop you at five, otherwise the big shipping magnet Sexolopoulos.
I know what happens. You know that could be that could be trouble for everyone. But you know, I'm sorry I messed up. That sounds like fun. I apologize.
It was very special because the Fatima has spent the last couple of years with the shipping magnet, sailing the Aegean Sea and eating a lot of lula kebab and making a fortune.
Yeah, well, he does. He did do that. Well, you know, I owe you one. I'm sorry that happened. And I heard you had a little bit of a hummus slide there the other night. Did that happen where people were buried under some hummus?
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, the delivery service delivered too much hummus and it hit the first four rows of horny men watching the...
oh, man.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than horny guys buried under hummus.
It was a tragedy, Fred. It will probably be on the cable TV, you know.
Probably. You know, I heard they were digging them out with chips and
pita chips.
Yeah, pita chips and giant celery stalks.
Yeah, it will be on that the TV show.
Man.
It's to die, possibly.
That is very scary. All right. Well, listen, I owe you one, Sheik. And I'll be out there next week. I know we have an event coming up, so I'll see you then.
And pray still, please come. I believe if the team will not be there, but we will find another wonderful female hummus wrestler to give you unlimited lap dances up to six.
Up to six. Well, hey, we're moving up now. All right. Well, thank you, Sheik Stinkaboo. There he is, our favorite sponsor here from Sheik Stinkaboo's Hookah Lounge out there in Glendale. Once again, thank you to the Dice Man. Just so great to have him on the show. Pretty awesome. We also have the crowd favorites, Danish and O'Neill, coming up from the Comedy Store. They'll be here in just a minute. And are they here?
Not as of yet.
You never know.
No. They could be on the call.
They could be. But right now on the line, another one of our old friends, Bill Cosby. Bill, what's happening?
Yes, this is Cosby Dice Clay.
Yeah. Ooh. What's going on, Bill?
Hickory Dock.
I better stop you there.
Sexual reference to having sex and the rhymes and
yeah, pretty good Dice impression there, Bill. So, how are you? What's happening?
Well, I wanted to announce some shows that are canceled.
Okay. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, I heard you had some canceled. Yeah.
Yes. See, on February 2nd. I will not be in Seattle. On February the 14th, I will not be in Dallas.
Okay.
And coming up on March the 3rd, I think it's going to be canceled.
Okay, I'm checking these off as we go. So Are you playing any shows, or are they all canceled?
I have a small Dennis murder mystery theater show. It's the murder mystery theater.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. At least you have one gig.
Per se, and I'm dressed as a vampire.
Okay, well, that's a good look for you.
That's all I can get going, and I'm also working in the copy section at Staples.
Well, you got to work. That's always important.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm there right now, working.
Oh, you're there now? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll be sure and bring some copies by. If we need some copies, we'll come by and see you. Okay.
All joking aside, which is probably what's going to be happening permanently for me.
Probably.
All joking aside, I wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you, Bill.
I know that you are 72 years old.
Yeah, I'm catching up to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So I wanted to wish you a happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, Bill Cosby. I appreciate that. And, yeah, I am 72, and I feel pretty good. And we'll have to go out for a drink, maybe. Oh, no, maybe we, no. That's not a good idea. I'll just take the happy birthday and run with that. All right, thank you. That's Bill Cosby. He's at the copy over at Staples.
So I say to the guy, you got to do what I say, but otherwise you're going to be in trouble back in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Dice man came
back.
That
was pretty good.
He's finishing up the story.
Wanted to finish that story, man.
See you later, Dice. Have a good night.
You know, when Vincent tells you to do something, guys, you got to do it.
You got to do it,
yeah. Frasier. It's 95.5 KLOS, Frasier Smith Show. Look who's here. The crowd favors Danish and O'Neill. Guys, welcome
to the show. Hey, everybody.
Man.
We're back.
How'd you like the Dice Man on the show?
It was great, Frasier.
He was good, wasn't
I'm
he?
Just happy. I texted Eleanor to tell her that I was in tears listening in my car. I was laughing, but not at that moment.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Tears of happiness that Dice and Hot Tub Johnny
had
buried the hatchet after 19 years.
19 years,
19
man.
19 years.
Thank God they got back together.
Hot Tub, it's me. Andy Clay.
You can only let the goof go on so long.
Yeah, you can't hit 20, otherwise it's not funny.
No, it's not funny anymore.
Guess what? It's been a gag.
I bet he was excited to hear that.
Yeah. And Wheels is back in the fold, too, I guess.
Oh, they got everything's going.
It's all good again.
It's cooking. Oh, yeah.
I loved having him on the show. I love it when he and Eleanor are getting an argument. That is like.
It seems like that's fairly often.
All the time. I think that's the whole relationship, basically.
It might be. I've seen a few incidents.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Now, we got to talk about our friend Tony Hinchcliffe because he almost picked that Ohio State-Oregon score, didn't he?
Yes, he almost did.
So I had to hear about it all last Monday
Unfortunately.
Night.
Unfortunately.
He's in Vegas because he's so hot. He's riding the hot hand.
Oh, he is, man. He's
betting things in 2016.
He's working the sports book.
Making it happen. Binion's really making things happen over there.
He's working downtown.
He's playing Keno. He's got all sorts of stuff going.
Man, you pick one game, and he's off to the races.
Ohio State will win for the next 30 years, Frazier.
You've got to be the only guy doing a Tony Hinchcliffe impression. That's pretty impressive.
He's hoping Tony gets hot, man, so that he can get work.
I'm like, this guy breaks.
It might happen.
This guy's got it down.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people like that at the Comedy Store that I'm just praying, but...
One of these days. How about Ari? Do you do an Ari impression?
I do an Ari.
He's starting to blow up.
He hates it.
All right, let's hear it.
My special just came out, Frasier. I don't know what you're talking about.
Pretty good.
We had a good phrase. We didn't mean to cheat on you, but we did another radio show with Ari this week.
Oh, no. What was it?
Comedy Central Radio.
Comedy Central Radio.
We called Mel, and he gave us the okay.
Oh, he got the okay.
They said to us, they're like, we love you guys. We want to give you a Sunday at 1 a.m. slot. And we said, you know what? We're taken.
Wow. Guys, that's loyalty.
And
I'm just glad I would have to tell Vincent. You know, it all starts there.
We don't want to piss you off, Frasier.
Well, I don't want to piss Vincent off.
The good thing about Comedy Central Radio is that they only make us wait out in the parking lot for 20 minutes.
Oh,
Mel makes us wait outside for 25.
Well, it was good training, man.
Mel, if you're listening,
It was good training for when he got to Comedy Central Radio.
Speaking of Mal, he was in hog heaven with ADC and Dice Clay in here.
Oh, my God.
I've never. He should have Mel walk around with him as his laugh track for you real life.
He was loving it.
Mel loved it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wore his leather tonight for the interview.
Well, that was, I noticed that from the photos.
I think he was laughing so hard he wore himself out. He must have fallen asleep while we were waiting out in the parking lot.
We were out there with a hawk helping him with his club.
A hawk's going trying to get the club off his Studebaker.
Yeah.
You know, Hawk got his number.
Look at, hey, there's Mel at the door right now.
In his leather. Hey!
Was the Hawk on tonight?
No, because
he got bumped.
You know, he got stuck back in where's Notre Dame?
It's in Indiana.
Yeah. Not Gary, Indiana. Where? Oh,
Wait, Notre Dame, it's in South Bend.
South Bend, yeah. He was there because they retired his number.
Oh, really?
Last night. College.
Tony the Hawk Hawkins?
Yeah, Tony the Hawk Hawkins.
They put a skateboard up in the rain.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's what I heard. His brother.
Tony the Hawk. He got a skateboard.
I heard that he dropped it on a half pipe at 81 years old.
Is it true that there's a hawk perched on the jersey up in the rafters?
That is actually the truth.
That's pretty sweet.
That's how he got the nickname.
Hey, I just want to say that we accidentally hit Mel's ice cream cart when we were parking in the parking lot. We sideswiped it.
Wow, that's bad.
So,
guys, you'll be in the parking lot even longer now.
We blew out. One of the big tires.
Well,
it's gonna be harder to push.
It'll be a lopsided push for Miller on the way home. All right, coming back with the crowd favorites, Danielson O'Neill, 95.5 KLOS Fraser Smith Show, brought to you by Mel's Pilates. What's it called? Pilates?
Palazzo.
Mel's Pilates. I don't think it's a Pilates.
Enrico Palazzo?
Yeah, there it is.
Paletta Man? Is that what you guys are trying to say?
That's what I'm trying to say. That's a movie.
Paletta
Mel does have a Pilates body, though, I will say.
He sure does,
that.
Man. He's ripped up.
So I say to the Paletta Man, I'll take four slushies. Don't make them too spicy. I got gastro problems.
We're going to need some wheels on this.
Have you ever used the Tempur-Pedical pillow?
Never, but I'm sure I will now.
It's unbelievable, Fred.
It sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah.
He's talking Tempur-Pedical pillows, wasn't he? Yeah, that's what he said.
Tempur-Pedical. Is he sponsored by them?
Yeah.
He will be, probably.
The gel was right there. He's not stupid. All right, now.
Do you think there's like an indentation on that pillow where he fell asleep with his cigarette in his mouth?
He did a joke about putting things on there.
Yeah, putting
when he and Eleanor were together. That sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I see where you're going with this.
I think you do. Now, we had the games today, the playoffs.
We did.
And, you know, your team, Danny Schultz.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah.
Here's what I did on the first game, Frage. Classic mishap.
Right.
I hate watching live football just because it's so long. I like, especially with Peyton Manning and Brady, because they do so many audibles at the line. I like to go right to when they're either handing it off or throwing.
Right. Okay.
You're just cutting a lot of the commercials are so long, halftime's so long.
Sure.
So you're cutting your game time almost in half.
Right.
So I DVR'd the Seahawks-Green Bay game.
Right.
And I went and did some errands. I came back. I was playing catch up, and I watched the whole game. And then my DVR runs out, and so it was 2 minutes left in the game.
No.
So I go to live time, and I missed everything that happened in that game.
Wow.
I go to live, and I'm like, wait, the Seahawks just did like a 12-point turnaround? What happened? Like, I literally missed everything.
Can't believe the Packers folded like that. That was unbelievable.
They blew it.
The pressure.
They did.
They got to.
Should have won that one.
They blew
I guess
the
it
game.
Was the
I felt terrible for the guy on the
Bostic?
Onside kick.
Oh, Bostic.
They interviewed
what was
him
that?
After. The guy was in tears.
Isn't that supposed to be your hands team out
he
there?
He wasn't, though. He was a blocker. And so Mike McCarthy, after the game, threw him under the bus. And he said, well, normally in those situations, we're all supposed to do our job. But apparently that's not what happened.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And so the guy, they interviewed him, and he's like, they're like, what's going through your mind? And he's like, I feel like I let everyone down at home. I let like family down. Everyone in Green Bay felt terrible.
Enjoy playing for the Jaguars.
Yeah, so his job was to block and then let the hands guys.
Oh, that's what it was.
And he said, my instincts took over, and he tried to be the man. And
please don't ever
don't
do
ever
that.
Let your instincts suppress all instincts.
Folks, that's a lesson for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
don't follow your gut.
But before that, they ran six plays for a total of 0 yards. It did nothing. Why didn't you throw the ball?
Yeah, right. And the other thing is, there's a couple questionable play calls, I thought, by McCarthy.
And there was a lot, and then after the game, he said, if you're going to. Don't question my play calls. Like, I'm not at fault. That guy's at fault.
It's the hands guy.
Exactly.
That guy really got thrown under
the bus. He's like, talk to Bostic.
Yeah, Bostic was making all those calls.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
It's all his fault. Well, it was ridiculous. First of all, they looked great in the first half.
They looked great.
And I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers' calf looked fine.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't running, but he was throwing fine.
But they were on a roll there.
And Seattle looked as bad as I've seen them in this run.
Yeah, they were off. Four interceptions. In the first half. Yeah, was that what it was?
It was
wow.
the total. But when you have a game, a playoff game, you're like one team at four interceptions. You're like, that game, yeah. that team lost.
Yeah, and then your game, you guys had, that was over in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was done quick.
Yeah.
But they've had Luck's number every time they've played them.
Yeah, that's true. I was looking at that. They always have beaten them by 20 points at
but
least.
But even back to Manning, they always played well against him.
That's true,
especially
too.
At home.
So now you mentioned a point, though. Now all of a sudden Seattle's become despicable.
They've become, in wrestling terms, the heel, and which you, the Patriots have always...
You've like, always been the yeah. heel.
Always. Yeah. People hate the Patriots, and I think part of it's because they're there a lot.
Well, yeah.
People don't like to see
it's
it.
It's success in
and,
that
yeah,
case.
And yeah. another part of it, Tom Brady.
Come on.
He is a supermodel. My mom, who's lived in Boston, the Boston area her whole life, does not like Tom Brady.
Is said, that right, really?
I said, why? And she's like, he has too much going for him.
I think a lot of people feel that.
And I was like, this is the woman I have rooting for me to be successful.
I know, right?
I won't call you if Mom, anything good happens.
Yeah. So you better keep failing.
I now, know. Yeah, I'm doing well. So far, she's happy. With
Comedy Central Radio. Now, you'll be pushing a Pilato truck.
Well, Mel can sell his with a discount. It's only been wrecked once.
It's only got one wheel, though. Yeah. It's going to be an uphill.
We put everything back in.
Yeah.
So it's not going
oh, okay, good. Okay. So the what do you think in the Super Bowl, guys? What's your pick?
I was scared.
The two teams you don't like.
I was scared of the matchup. As of tonight, Vegas had them pick them even.
Did they?
Which is pretty rare.
Well, it's good offense against good defense.
It's like Ken Belichick's mad evil genius because he's doing some crazy stuff right now with the offense.
Yeah, he is.
They're doing four men on the line with guys ineligible, like off to the side.
It was tonight.
Tonight they threw a pass to one of their linemen, who's 6'8", I guess was a tight end.
See, I like that, though.
But can that throw Seattle's defense off guard a little bit? It's tough to say.
It's hard to say.
Sherman had a bad arm today, which they didn't attack
Did
at
you
all.
See that at the
but
end
They didn't
there?
Attack
yeah.
him. They didn't go at him.
He looked like he was hurt there at the end.
Well, he had one arm to the side, like this.
Yeah. When the arm's going the other way, it's not good.
But they didn't throw at him once.
Well, there's a reason for that, you know.
It was Bostic.
Bostic. Wow, poor old Bostic.
That poor guy.
Man. Well, you know, you can't blame it all on one guy. They didn't play well in that second half.
In the first quarter, they had it fourth and inches on the goal line.
That was ridiculous.
They kicked.
That was ridiculous. That was one of the play calls I didn't get.
And you have a great runner in Lacy.
Lacy's
pounded in.
If he can't get 3 inches...
You got to pound it.
Come on, folks. Nice. That was good. All right. So we got the Super Bowl coming up. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know much. You know what's going on? Right.
Wow. Spent too much time in Australia.
I think it's just whoever shows up. You know what I mean? I think it's just that night. It's whoever's going to have the better game.
I feel
game.
Like it's always like that. And it's tough to really have a good Super Bowl game. I feel like a lot of them are just blowouts.
Last year's was horrible.
Yeah.
Last year's was bad. Once that first snap went bad for Manning.
That was it. You could tell that was going to be it.
Yeah. It's over.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess to get an answer, we're going to have to call Tony Hinchcliffe.
Oh.
Because he knows.
It's going to be 35-2.
I think he thinks Ohio State
for
is going
Ohio
to
State.
It.
Ohio State is going to come in at halftime.
They're going to truck them in. And
switch uniforms.
Over.
What they have is track stars.
All right. I want to ask, we're going to come back in just a minute with the crowd favorites, Danish and O'Neill. I want to ask you about that basketball game, the high school basketball game.
Oh,
girls
I heard
basketball,
about that.
161-2.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what? It was close until halftime. Crowd favorites, Danish. You know Neil in the house.
Hey.
Yeah, guys. You guys are now, what do they call them?
Pilate men.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pilate men. We've That's always been. Pilate
yeah, you men. Have. You sure have. Okay, you're following in the footsteps of Michael Keaton. All right. I don't know what that meant.
I don't either.
All
good
right.
footsteps to follow in, though.
They are. He's not, doing pretty good. Did you see Birdman?
I did.
O'Neill saw it. I
loved
did not
it.
See well,
it.
Did you dig
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? He is such a good performer and actor. Like, he just hasn't been doing enough stuff, you know?
Right. I always loved him. And, you know, he came out of the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Original room.
See the headshots there?
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's a guy you almost forget
that he was a stand-up, yeah.
Such a likable guy, too.
Awesome.
Like, just so likable.
Awesome guy. All right, we're going to go out with the phones right now because our old friend Gary Busey's was on the line.
Oh, uh-oh, man.
What happened there, Mel?
You know what happened? Have you seen the commercial where he puts the seashell
on the
computer?
Oh, that's probably
what. He put it in the phone.
That's probably what happened.
Put the seashell on the phone.
That could have been
banana
it.
Banana in the tailpipe, Frasier.
That's the old talk about Eleanor. Now,
Frasier, you went over the line with that.
Well, that's what they were talking about. Dice was throwing bananas at her at Ralph's.
You've never done that, Frasier, with your significant other?
It's a
gag. Sure, it sounds like fun.
And then a guy slips on the peel.
That's the joke.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Throwing bananas at her.
Yeah. Well, then there was another thing with bread. They were throwing bread at each other.
He was taking it out of the wrapper? Just
I heard on Passover they throw matzah, not the bread.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Gary's on the line. Okay, Gary Busey's on the line. Gary, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm good, man. What's happening?
Well, I'm preparing for the big holiday tomorrow.
What's that?
MLK
Day. Oh, the MLK Day. That's right. Yeah. Of course.
Why would I not? We're heading up to Seattle. We're gonna reenact the March on Washington.
Oh no, I think you have the wrong. Not that Washington.
You know what? It's fine.
That's fine though. Yeah. You'll still have a good march.
Speaking of Seattle, man. Hey, you want to head with me and my gang? Me and the crew, we're heading out to Glendale, Arizona for the Super Bowl, man. You want to come out?
Yeah, I'll come out there with you guys. Yeah, that should be.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. I got Kevin Pollak.
Whoa.
Cool.
Yeah, Carrot Top's going to be there.
All right.
Oh, wow.
It's my buddy. Well, that's
Pauly Shore. I mean, we're gonna have a great time.
All comics.
What are you taking, a Winnebago?
Well, we're taking a Wagoneer.
Okay. Ooh. I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lyle Wagoner. Hey, Dice Clay, man. Who came to Dice Man? You gotta love him, right?
Gotta love Dice Man, right? Yeah. Have you ever worked with him? Were you ever in a movie with Dice Man?
Well, we're working on something right now, which should be the Ford Fairlane in outer space.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
I like that.
Man.
This is cool, man. I play the supervillain in that Snapperhead.
Snapperhead. Perfect.
Oh, that's a great role for Gary.
I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but.
Oh, I got to say, happy birthday, dude.
Oh, well, thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, let me tell you, 65 is a great year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I miss it. I love being 65.
Yeah, that's true. I better not ask.
Hey, remember that birthday bash we had for you back in 95?
I can barely remember that.
Me and the guys took you to Spearmint Rhino. It was Gallagher, Arsenio, and Ace Frehley.
That was a crew, too. They're right there, buddy.
What a crew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Gary rolls deep.
We had fun at the Rhino.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. That was a blast, man. What happened?
What did Space Ace put in our drinks?
I don't know, bro. But I woke up... couple weeks later.
It was like The Hangover, the original.
It was.
Ace Frehley was Galifianakis.
That could have been the prequel.
That movie was based on your trip to the Spearmint Rhino.
I think it was.
It was weird, man. I woke up with a star in my eye like Paul Stanley. It was weird.
Whoa. That's coincidence.
I wonder what happened there.
We all got tattoos. It was crazy. That was fun.
I love Great White. Great White's a great band, man. They are California.
Yeah, they are. Locals that made it big.
Hey, you know something about the great white? You know that the great white shark has 3,000 teeth in its mouth?
I did not know that. Is that true?
Yeah, the average human has 32. I have 48 in my mouth.
Whoa. Wow. You do have a lot of teeth. I noticed that.
I thought it was just the size that was up. But I guess they are big.
Yeah, they're big.
I guess
teeth.
It's more, too.
Yeah, you
I don't
know.
I don't know if you guys noticed, you can't brush your teeth with a seashell. I tried.
Yeah, oh well.
Hey, Gary, when you go to the dentist, is it more money because there's more teeth, or is it just the same rate?
I think he goes to a pressure washer, like just a guy with a pressure washer.
Yeah, that's a good day. I'll tell you what, Young Rascals, man, I love them.
Yeah, the Young Rascals. They're great. Nice segue. They were good, weren't they? Yeah.
Oh, they were great, man. Hey, you know, I don't know if people know this, but Alfalfa had a sex change.
Whoa.
First of all, I didn't know that, but I think you have the wrong Young Rascals.
That's weird. Yeah. That is weird, man. That is weird. Hey, you know the new Odd Couple's coming out, right?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, man. It's going to be great. Thomas Lennon and Matthew Perry. I play the wacky neighbor.
Well, of course, and everything, that's what you do. Yeah. Hey, how's that show coming along, the Square Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, man, hey, let me tell you. CMT is really excited about my new lineup. Listen to this. Listen to what I got. I got Billy Ray Cyrus.
Great. Love him.
I got Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Yeah. I got Billy Joe from Green Day.
Oh, okay.
Starting to see a trend, Ray.
I see him. Yeah.
Here we go.
Hey, talk about stud casting. I got Billie Jean King.
Wow, dude.
Wow.
So it's all Billie lineup.
Well, of you can go to the Spearmint Rhino.
There's another birthday party.
She's surprisingly sexy for a 71-year-old woman.
Is she? Yeah.
Who played tennis.
That would be a surprise. Well, all right. Well,
Bobby, hey, do me a favor. Don't tell Bobby Riggs I hooked her up, okay?
I will not do that, and thank you for that. All right, there he is, our buddy.
Gary Busey. Gary Bear Busey.
Yeah, man, he calls every week. He does have a lot of teeth, doesn't he?
The Buse, yeah, he's got a mouthful.
Sure does. Danish and O'Neill, they are the crowd favorites.
We're here. Yeah. That's the crowd.
Right there. Both those guys think you're great.
We trucked them in. This is a paid audience. Yeah.
Now, what about that game at that basketball game, 161-2. And at halftime, it was 104-1.
I had money on it, and the spread was 180. Yeah. I had the over, and I lost money. I was there and said, hey, you're calling the press off at 130-0? Get it back on.
Yeah, let's start pressing
you
again.
You know what? In defense of the team that scored 2 points, it was a rebuilding year for them.
Well, that's true. So. Yeah, that's true.
What was the age group? Was it high school or was it younger?
It was high school.
It was high school playing.
High school girls basketball.
Yeah. Playing kindergarten.
Apparently. You know, the New York Knicks actually called it a close game. That's what they thought.
Do you think he scolded the girl who fouled, whoever got fouled? Because I think it was foul shots.
I would think so. It could have cost him the game.
Like, are you kidding me? You blew the shutout for our defense.
How do you only score two ever? I mean,
well, that's
just
one
by
and
accident.
A half. Yeah.
It must have been like a team of people who just like had to play a varsity sport for some sort of requirement, who've never played in their lives. Because you can't be that bad.
Just by accident, you could score.
Yeah, you could just throw the ball up.
Yeah.
It wasn't one basket. It was two free throws.
Yeah. It would have to be
because it was only 104-1.
Maybe the ref just blew,
how about
blew
that halftime speech?
Call. They must have missed foul shots.
Was the coach at the halftime, though? Like, hey, look, these people might catch us. We need to, like, keep going hard.
Is there a back door to this gym?
You
Let's
call
get
that
out of here.
Defense? I think the winning coach was like, you think that was a good performance? He'll be running sprints for that.
My God.
He got suspended, but he said, suspend me for what? Being awesome? That was his quote.
Is that his quote?
That was
wow.
That was a joke.
That would have been a good
quote. I don't
get
why he got suspended. I mean, come on. I understand that. You know, you destroyed these people.
Isn't that the capitalist U.S.?
It sure is.
You put your boot on their throat.
That's what it is.
And wasn't he going for trying to set a record?
Well, he's trying to get into the playoffs.
Playoffs? He definitely subscribes to the Cobra Kai method of coaching.
Sure
Mercy
is
for the weak, Karate
that's
Kid
it.
Style.
That is Cobra
Kai. You do not let up ever.
Yeah. Now, all right, so our Super Bowl pick is what, guys? What are you picking?
Who? I mean, I got to go with the hometown team.
Well, of course,
the
you're going
to.
Yeah,
I can't not.
I just hope everyone has a good time on the field.
I just hope it's better than last year.
O'Neill's rooting for the commercials.
Commercials, what do you think?
The commercials are always good.
Will we know somebody in one
Chris
of them?
Chris D'Elia's in one
there
of them.
There you go, right there.
Yeah, I heard
Which
he was,
one is he in?
I don't know, but he went and filmed it. He said it was good.
I mean, it's good that he finally got a break.
Yeah. It's just a poor kid.
I think this is going to be big for his career, the Super Bowl commercial.
Well, yeah, it could be.
Because I got to be honest, the will turn, what's that seat?
That's not
3,000, 4,000?
Who can't fill that? Yeah, maybe
I used to do open mics there.
Yeah, come on.
Every Tuesday.
Tuesday night is open mic at the will turn.
The Laugh Factory?
Yeah, there's three people in there. Wait a minute.
By the way, the Laugh Factory's open mic is pretty tough.
Have you done it?
You have to wait outside for like 8 hours.
Yeah, did you guys ever do that?
We did. First time I ever did it, I stood there for 6 hours.
Did you really?
In the sun.
To do what? 3 minutes of time?
Yeah, and then
with a guy on stage.
You're really clean, and I'm not the cleanest guy. And
Jamie's accountant, or whoever he is, Harvey, sits on stage in like a student's desk. And he's like, whoa, you're approaching some dangerous waters with this time.
And then
you want to clean it up. You'll actually say that. You're just like, I waited in line for 6 hours for this guy named Harvey to just cut me off.
And then you meet with Jamie afterwards, and then he's always like, come back 4 weeks.
Huh? Did you have a meeting with him?
That's literally what he says to every person. Buddy, you come back 4 weeks, buddy. Four weeks.
Wow.
Why was I there
and Saget showed up, and he's like, don't listen to a single word that this
That's what Saget
says.
Told you?
That's what he said.
Yeah. Wow.
And you wait out there with complete weirdos. Like homeless people and other vagabonds.
Yeah, they're not even really in line for the open mic.
Yeah, they're just like,
they just saw a line and they're like, we're just going to get another turkey giveaway.
I'm getting here early for Thanksgiving.
A lot of these guys just need to kill time. So it's like, hey, I'll just stand in this line.
Well, you know Harlan Williams, how great of a comic he is.
He is great.
He's one of my all-time faves. And he was a big comic up in Canada before he came down here.
Oh, I see where this is going. I don't like it.
He was on my radio show. Somebody says to me, have this guy on your show. He's great. So I have him on the show, and Jamie's my sidekick. So he goes to Jamie afterwards. He goes, you know, I've done a little stand-up. I was wondering if I could come and perform at your club. Yeah, buddy, listen. Come on Tuesday, stand in line.
So here's
Harlan Williams standing in line. 4 hours of laughing.
Man. Buddy, I like the set 4 weeks, buddy, 4 weeks.
And then the first time Jamie saw him, he was like, uh-oh, I should not have told him to stand.
And the worst part about standing in line there is that the sun hits you all day long. Like, there's never a shadowy
area. There's nothing to hide under.
You have to wear sunscreen if you go out there.
When people are driving by and they're, you know,
it's degrading.
It pretty much is. Yeah.
Anytime
you're, I think that's it. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to continue here. It is Danish and O'Neill. Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday, Fresh.
Thank you, guys. I did have fun at the Laugh Factory last night. It was very nice. Jamie had a little party for me.
Did Eleanor jump out of a cake?
No, I was hoping she might, but...
I heard she drop kicks the cake into your mouth.
Yeah.
In your hand.
The dice that you're over there with a bag or with a...
He throws bananas at her.
Yeah.
It's like a circus.
With a loaf of bread.
Catch the milk, dummy. You dropped it again.
Who needs a cart? I've got Eleanor.
You see him going into like Ralph's. It's like a lion tamer's outfit, just like swinging a whip around.
Don't give him any ideas. All right, I want to thank you for joining us. All of you, both of you. Thanks to Mel Garcia for producing another great lineup tonight. And be sure and catch Mel this week hosting the Taggers for Tots telethon on Telemundo.
Wow.
And
That you get, you hand in a can of spray paint, you get a child?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
How did you know? And I want to thank Board Op Mike Fox, the Cougar King, for another great job. He'll be at Happy Hour at Fridays in Woodland Hills all week. Out there and check it out.
Alligator sausage poppers on mic.
Call back from 8 shows ago.
Yeah, pay attention.
Yes.
Just don't look under the table if you see them.
Exactly. You don't want to see what's going on. Also, thanks to Derek Madden, Stu Herrera from KLOS, Taylor Brooks, Mel Cole, Jeffrey Peterson, Laugh Factory's Jamie Masada, Dean Del Rey, IHPC's Mel and Desiree Ayers, and of course, our crowd favorites, Danish and O'Neill, and Eleanor.
Eleanor.
You see her, hit her with a banana. And thanks to our guest, Felix Cavalier of the Young Rascals, Mark Kendall of Great White, and of course, the Dice Man, Andrew Dice Clay. Let's all do it, guys.
There you go.
Monday night, I'm at the Parlor with Jay Davis. What happened to Jay Davis this week?
He didn't call back.
Didn't call back? All right. And anyway, I'll be at the Parlor tomorrow night, and I'll be hosting the Late Show. Guys, you're going to be on the show,
right? We're going to be there, Fresh.
World Famous Comedy Store. Yeah, tomorrow night, Monday night. It's always great, guys. If you want to come by, mention my name, they'll hit you with a banana. And Wednesday night, Rudy. I'm at Rudy Moreno's show out there at the Ice House. Thursday night, once again, hosting at the Ice House, a great club in Pasadena. And Friday night, hosting the Laugh Factory 10 p.m. show in Hollywood. Dane Cook, Dom Herrera, Tony Rock, the whole gang. And tonight's show brought to you by Ticket Whore. You guys have been there, right?
Oh yeah,
lots of tickets,
many times.
You got to pay for them, but it's going to be worth your while.
It's going to be worth it. Your tickets go through everyone's hands before you get them.
You can pay an alligator sausage.
Yes, exactly.
Always a happy ending when you go with Ticket Whore
or an alligator sausage. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Fresh.
I appreciate it. We'll see you next week, and we'll only make you wait in the parking lot for 15 minutes.
We're going to tailgate.
All right, there you go, Fraser Smith Show. We are out on 95.5 KLOS. Stay tuned for Dave.